This is PFW in Progress.
You guys are arresting me for getting thrown out of a window? I got thrown out of a window, man.
You would tell me, so what's the charge?
Disturbing the peace.
Disturbing the peace? I got thrown out of a window. What's the charge for getting pushed out of a moving car, huh? Jaywalking?
This is PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Yes. I'm looking for a gray-haired gentleman, very dark-skinned Capricorn. Tell him that I'm going to the clinic today, and I found out that I have herpes simplex 10. And I think Victor should go check himself out with his physician to make sure everything is fine before things start falling off on the man.
Paul Perillo.
Wow. You know, it says here that by the time the average American is 50, he's got 5 pounds of undigested red meat in his bowels.
Why are you telling me this? What makes you think I have any interest in that at all?
Well, you eat a lot of red meat.
And Andy. And Andy?
Jesus.
Andy Hart.
How you doing?
Some guy named Tom.
Just a man who wrecked the buffet at the Harrow Club this morning.
Lower your voice, for Christ's sake.
What, can a guy hear me through the wall?
Yes, he can.
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
We're not going to fall for a banana in the tailpipe. You're not going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe?
It should be more natural, brother. It should flow out like this.
Look, man, I ain't falling for no banana in my tailpipe.
PFW in Progress.
I had to go to the bathroom. I was walking by. It looked like a nice, clean place, so I stopped.
Hopefully you guys will all stop here. PFW in Progress. On a Thursday afternoon here at Gillette Stadium. Is that all right? Sounds good. Getting a thumbs up from Jason behind the glass. Paul Perillo with you, soon to be joined by Tom Casale. He is upstairs taking care of a few last-minute details, trying to get some contact with the one and only Corey Dillon, seeing if we can effort that, not necessarily for the show, but for a feature that we're working on for the next issue of Patriots Football Weekly. So until then, you're stuck with me and me only. I'll be painless, though. I'll make it painless. Obviously, the emails are flying in, so obviously it's playoff time, which is a very, very good sign. The last couple of weeks, I've noticed been a little bit of a drop off with the emails, and it's good to see the playoffs are here and the games are now of the utmost importance, and the fans, the Patriots Nation, the loyal listeners of PFW in Progress are at attention because the emails are flying in. webradio@patriots.com, best way to reach us, webradio@patriots.com. also, if you'd like to give us a call, 508-543-7482. That number again is 508-543-7482. And a lot going on here at Gillette Stadium, and not the least of which, oh, look at that. See, I can vamp with the best of them. Tom Casale's already here. Good stuff, good stuff. But a lot going on here in the bowels of Gillette Stadium. Wonderful round of applause for Tom. Although not necessarily a ton going on inside the locker room. I'll get to that in a moment. But Bill Belichick's press conference today, about what you'd expect, a lot of complimentary talk of the Jets. Probably more questions, I thought, today about the Patriots and specific personnel with the Patriots than I would envision this late in the season. Usually, especially in the playoffs, you would think that you would be more interested in the opposition. But packed house today, some luminaries in attendance, obviously some New York writers. I saw Judy Batista from the New York Times. But the biggest name, biggest personality, Tom and I's favorite, one of the favorites anyway, Chris Berman in the house, Boomer. And no word yet on whether or not he was able to go over with Belichick and devise a scheme to run against the Jets this week. But, Tom, I know that you had to be equally as excited as I was to see Chris Berman in the house.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure this will end up on his two-minute drill.
Lawrence Boney Maroney.
I'm sure he's got some crazy thing he's cooking up for his two-minute drill this week, where we all know that he'll pick the Patriots to win because they're playing the Jets.
Because that's what he does every week.
So, he doesn't do anything for me.
No. I think he seems like a nice guy. I think he seems like a pretty pleasant guy.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily care for his shtick, and I don't necessarily – I like when he does the highlights, the prime time. I enjoy him and Tom Jackson. I don't like when he gets involved and when he's actually talking about the nuts and bolts of the NFL and offering his opinions. No. I don't necessarily buy
any of his opinions. He's terrible at the
draft. I'm looking over your shoulder, Tom. It says breaking news on ESPN News. I guess LaDainian Tomlinson won the MVP. So that is, I guess, not unexpected. I mean, I that would certainly be my pick. I know there's been some sentiment for Drew Brees, but I just think that Tomlinson's year was too superior.
There's
too
no way
superior.
You can vote for. I mean, Brees had a nice year for certain, but he didn't have a Peyton Manning type of year when Manning had a couple years ago. That's what Tomlinson had in the running back category. It'd be tough not to give him the MVP.
All right, some of the other awards, I don't know if what you guys talked about yesterday. We had the rookies of the year.
Vince Young.
I'm sure you guys talked about that. D'Amico Ryan's defensive rookie
of
the year.
Yeah, that one
Vince
wasn't
Young.
In during our show, I don't think.
Well, that was before. That was announced before.
Oh, it was? Well, yeah. Then I guess we didn't get that information.
So Vince Young, I was not surprised that Vince Young won. I was surprised by the margin of victory. I don't know how you feel, Tom.
Yeah, and I'm glad Jones-Drew finished in the top three because I was afraid they were going to sneak Bush in there in front of him. And in my opinion, Jones-Drew has had a better year than Bush.
Yeah, from start to finish. Bush has been...
Has come on.
He's been great in the second half, but he was kind of quiet in the first half.
And I'm not saying he's not
going to be
Brees
came in second.
Great
Manning
player.
Came in third, by the way, in the MVP voting.
That's about right, I would say.
Brees only got four votes. The other award that was announced earlier today, Chad Pennington won the comeback player of the year, and I think that's a good pick.
That should have been
a
runaway, yeah. Who finished second, third?
I haven't seen the voting on that.
Yeah, I couldn't think of anyone else who should win it other than him.
Well, that award, you know, people talk about how ambiguous the MVP is, and like, do you actually mean it in terms of what it says, most valuable? In other words, if you took that guy away from the team, what would happen? Or is it just the guy who had the best year, blah, blah, blah? There's a lot of debate that goes into that. Well, comeback player of the year, I think, is not nearly as talked about nearly as much, but I think it's every bit as ambiguous. What are you coming back from?
Right.
Are you coming back from a poor performance? Are you coming back from an injury? Did you have to achieve a certain level, then drop back down, and then get back up? Is that a comeback?
Right.
Or do you just kind of stagger along for 3 years, then all of a sudden you have a breakout year? Is that a comeback? I don't know. Drew Brees is a guy who tore his labrum in the last game of the season last year. Is that a comeback?
No, he shouldn't be comeback player of the year. He was in the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, I know. That's how I feel. But I think there's some ambiguous nature to that. That makes those sometimes.
See,
I think
for me, a comeback player of the year would be like I don't know, like a guy like Tyrone Wheatley, who had that 1,000-yard season with the Raiders after not doing anything. You know what I mean? Like he was nothing, and he had a good year. So something along those lines, I think, would be comeback player of the year. If you're
exactly.
already a good player and you just get injured, it's an injury. A lot of players come back from that. I didn't see Steve Smith winning any comeback player of the year awards last year.
He did.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Oh.
Nice call. Him and Teddy Bruschi shared it.
Oh, I didn't know Steve Smith was shared that. See, now that's stupid. In my opinion, that's stupid. I thought Bruschi won it last year.
No, he and Bruschi shared it, I believe.
Well, then that's, see, to
either
me,
that or Smith won it over Bruschi.
That's ridiculous.
I thought they shared it.
The guy was already a great player. You know, Bruschi was coming back from a stroke. You can understand that, but Smith was coming back from what people come back from all the time, a knee injury. I don't know.
Well, and that's...
And most people don't care about that award anyway, so I guess that's why it's not talked about.
Yeah, no, and that's interesting. And just to kind of set the... it's Thursday, so I'll set the schedule a little bit. And Ron in Raymond, New Hampshire, chiming in, he wants to make sure that everybody had a great Christmas. And he says, he's saying hi to me. He says, so it's just you and the sheriff today, and I'll take the opportunity... It'll be Tom and I for the first hour. We'll be with you until 1 o'clock. And then Andy and Fred will come down. We'll do our playoff picks in the second hour. Obviously, only four games. So we'll probably talk a little bit more in depth that, you know, also be able to take maybe some more emails in the second half than we normally would. So keep the emails coming in. webradio@patriots.com. We'll probably mix in some emails and let's get your picks, your predictions for the playoffs. Obviously, I think most Patriots fans will be predicting a Patriots win, but what do you expect in the other games? But I'm particularly interested in what you think of the NFC situation because I think that's just a mess. I think
the problem I'm having, Paul, is that they were saying today how the road teams have been winning in a wild card weekend. but I kind of like all the home teams. So,
last year, the Patriots were the only home team to win in wild card weekend.
I'm trying to find a road team to take, and I just none of them are really exciting.
Let's see, Washington won at Tampa, right? Who else played? Carolina won at the Giants. And who was the other game?
Well, there was four of them. So.
Pittsburgh won at Cincy. So the only home team to win last year
was
the Patriots.
Patriots.
In that weekend. So clearly it was an abnormal year, usually the home field. But I think the home field is less significant in this round than it is in the next round.
Yeah.
For two reasons. One, you're dealing with the rest, and two, you're dealing with a better caliber team. So we're in agreement on that.
Yeah.
For one of the rare times. This must be something from yesterday. I'm going to read Steve in Lincoln, Nebraska. He says, I almost pissed my pants when I heard Tom say he would kiss Andy's bare ass if the Pats lost. That guy is one crazy SOB. Let's just hope he doesn't have to do any puckering up next week. Let's hey, Paul, so. You made fun of me last week when I suggested that you steal everyone else's thunder. I was just wondering if Tom kisses Andy's ass, are you going to try to take credit for it 2 months later? To which I'll say, I'll have to wait and see what Tom tells me to do, and then I'll do that. How's that? P.S. You guys were talking about college quarterbacks. This is the serious part of his email. You guys were talking about college quarterbacks coming out in the draft, and then Tom went off on Urban Meyer and how much he sucks. Well, what do you think about Chris Leak? I haven't heard much about where he's going to be selected in the draft.
Well, I think he's going to be one of the more interesting players in the draft because I got to tell you, I'm really nervous about these so-called top-notch quarterbacks coming out, Brady Quinn, Jamarcus Russell, those guys, Troy Smith. Leak is—he's a little small. He's going to be a Drew Brees kind of quarterback. But if you go back 2 years, this guy was considered a top first-round draft pick. Then Urban Meyer came with his rinky-dink crazy offense. So I think he's a guy. As the process goes forward, he might increase his draft stock and be one of those guys. Like if the Raiders go with Calvin Johnson, maybe they go Chris Leak early round two, something like that. I think he's one of your sleeper quarterbacks because if he can get into a good system, I think he can play.
I like Chris Leak, probably not quite as much as Tom does. And Tom and I have talked about Leak a lot in the past year and a half or so since I've known Tom, actually. And I don't like him quite as much as Tom does, but I do think that I think he has a good skill set, and I think he has been drastically hamstrung by a terrible offense. I think not only that he plays in an offense that he's not really suited to run, but he also has this ridiculous looking over the shoulder going on with a freshman quarterback who, in my opinion, is just a freak show runner.
And we'll find that out next year when he has to play quarterback.
And he may develop. I mean, he's young. But right now, what I've seen right now, he's not ready to play quarterback at this level. To do anything other than just run the ball.
And I got news for you. Georgia, Alabama, Auburn, LSU, South Carolina, all good teams next year. Good luck, Tim Tebow.
Yeah, so I think that that Leak has a chance, like Tom said, you know, like a second round kind of a guy. I don't think necessarily that he is, any threat to dislodge any of these guys that we're talking about, at the top. By the way, that vote was not even close. 44 out of the 50 votes went to Tomlinson.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, 4 to Breeze, 2 to Manning. That's pretty clear cut.
Yeah, and there's an interesting thing up there. I totally forgot about this guy, Ricky Williams, returning to the Dolphins. I totally forgot.
You think he'll be reinstated? I don't know. I don't think that's a sure thing.
No. I wish we didn't have to hear any more about him. Guys who ruin their chances like he has, they don't really excite me.
Yeah,
but this Dolphins team, you know, to me, is a team in flux. You know, where do you go? You got an older defense. You got a quarterback problem. Let's just say Saban didn't leave whoever's coming in. And this goes back to the Wanstead days when they traded all their draft picks to try to make that final run.
Exactly.
But I don't know how enticing this job is right now. You know what I mean? It's going to be tough, I think, to lure a top-notch coach when he takes a look and looks. That's why I thought Saban was leaving the whole time. You look at Alabama, they're loaded with talent. All those guys on that team are young. They're only going to get better with Saban there. Then you look at Miami and just, geez, how good is this team going to be?
Yeah, and I think two things. One, the age of that front seven that we've talked about all season long. And two, I think he knows that they made the wrong choice at quarterback, and there's no way to fix that.
No.
You're not going to be in a situation that you were this year very often where you had two three
yeah, right.
really legitimate options at quarterback out on the open market.
Right. This year you'll be looking at more of your Jake Plummer,
it's gonna be back
Drew
to normal.
Bledsoe,
yeah.
those type
it's
gonna of
It's going
to
be back to normal where you can
you
have a guy.
Take a shot on those guys.
Yeah, if you have a team that's ready built and can protect a quarterback, maybe you take a shot, but you don't have the quarterback of the future. Breeze could have been their quarterback of the future.
Right.
I'll
tell you right now, if the Raiders don't like any of the quarterbacks coming out, that's where Bledsoe's going. They go to Oakland. They get Calvin Johnson.
Could there be anything worse than that? even for Drew. I mean, Aaron Brooks, not a great quarterback, but he can move around a little bit. And he got the absolute starch knocked out of him all year. Ooh. Well, we're on the subject of the Dolphins, and Stu is in Newfoundland, and he says that Nick Saban has made the best decision of his coaching career by leaving the Dolphins. Face Bill Belichick and the Pats twice a year and most likely lose and not make the playoffs year after year, or flock to Alabama and at least stand a chance of playing some meaningful games in the near future. Now, once Mangini and the overrated Jets get pounded by the Pats this Sunday, and time after time in games in years to come, maybe he too will figure out the best place to be is with the Pats or out of the league altogether. So I thought I misunderstood that. I thought that was actually going to have some analysis as to why he made a good choice.
Coaching at Alabama is no Swedish massage. I mean, that SEC is tough. Yeah, Saban will be successful there, no doubt. But I don't think that played any part into it. I think he knows in his mind.
Do you think that Nick Saban looks in this
coach?
Do you think Nick Saban looks in the mirror and thinks that anybody else on the planet is a better coach than he is?
If there's a man with a bigger ego than Nick Saban,
no.
I've never come across him.
Absolutely.
Ever.
Absolutely. Guys that is
I think he looks in the mirror though.
Oh, no question. I don't think he's ever met a mirror he didn't like. But I think that when you ascend to that level of a profession, you have a lot of confidence.
Yeah.
You don't worry about the other guy being a better coach than you are.
If you just said take a guess, my guess would be this. Nick Saban thinks he's a better coach than Belichick, but he doesn't have the front office and the personnel that Belichick has to work with, and he believes if he was in New England, he would have won those Super Bowls too.
Right.
That's what my guess would be.
Right. What's this Ryan Leaf movie? What's this all about?
This
from
Andy
yesterday now?
Andy and Fred were on for 20 minutes. Seriously, I was watching. Remember when Andy started making fun of me watching the TV?
Yeah.
That's why I was watching it, because these two were going back and forth on this Ryan Leaf movie.
All right, well, Travis is in Edmonton. He says, listen to the podcast and love it. A diehard Patriots fan in Canada really has nowhere else to hear Patriots talk. This is awesome. Awesome job, he says. That said, Fred, you're a jackass fool. He says something else, but I won't say that word on the air. And a fool. Your choice. But I enjoy it because you make ridiculous statements that everyone can rip you on. The Ryan Leaf story is a great idea. I've heard the guy speak a couple of times, and he seems to have been humbled and is involved with football for the love of the game. So what if it's a depressing story? Ever see Leaving Las Vegas? That movie made me want to drown myself in a toilet, or worse, kiss Andy's bare ass after eating buffalo chicken wings. I thought of Fallen Stars, and what about a movie on Maurice Clarett? I know that's an oxymoron describing his fat, drunk, lazy, trigger-happy ass a star, but really, a twisted story perfect for Hollywood, right? I think the Pats win by less than a touchdown, but the game will never really be in doubt. And after the Sugar Bowl, I want to say that I think Quinn's as good as he's ever going to get, and Jamarcus Russell could be Vince Young with better mechanics. But he better pull an Eli and flip the bird to Oakland and Detroit, or in 10 years, Fred will be ranting about the Jamarcus Russell movie. Later, guys.
Well, now, there's someone who saw Jamarcus Russell play once. And
right.
Listen, I'll tell you, do you want to know who's good on that team? Those receivers are phenomenal for LSU.
Our boy had a big game,
and Doucette
are
phenomenal players. I think Jamarcus Russell is one of those guys who throws a nice deep ball, can get some zip on the ball, but I'm not sure he can make all the NFL throws. Maybe in time, but I'm afraid now they're talking about him being the first and second pick in the draft. You get him in, he starts right away. I don't think that's for him. I think he's a guy that needs to sit for a year or so and learn the NFL and be coached up. I just don't think he has all the skill. I don't think any of these quarterbacks do. I think it's one of those years you're going to see quarterbacks go high because they're quarterbacks,
right,
and they don't deserve to.
And that's the thing that drives me crazy is I don't get that. I just don't get it. You know, why they insist on taking these quarterbacks when they're not the best players available.
And Brady quit, but the most overrated player in college football is Jeff Samardzija so you guys can get that right out of your head. If you want him here, you'll have a nice number four receiver. Every time he plays an NFL-caliber corner, an NFL-caliber defense like LSU, Michigan, USC, he gets stonewalled. He can't get any separation. He's not open. He drops passes. I'll tell you, you know where he's going to be? The Chicago Cubs, because I think he knows he's a better baseball player than football player.
I thought it was interesting last night. They showed some highlights of him pitching for the Boise Hawks.
Yep.
in Class Single A. Maybe that's the best move for him.
Because I don't really,
if he could pitch at that level, that he was a fifth round draft pick in baseball is pretty high.
And how embarrassing? Seriously, how embarrassing is Howie Long? Comparing him to Ed McCaffrey.
Well, that's no.
Are you serious?
No, that's not what he said. You're putting words in. Howie Long said that Charlie Weiss compared him to Ed McCaffrey.
Okay,
that's different.
Okay, well, whoever compared him to Ed McCaffrey, listen, the next time we have a Vietnamese linebacker, we're just going to compare him to Dat Nguyen. That is so stupid.
Or Fred would compare him to Matt Nguyen.
I mean, there's been like five starting receivers in the NFL in the past 15 years, and whenever someone comes out, we either compare him to McCaffrey if he's tall, Ricky Prohl if he's that kind of that overall receiver, or if he's the third down type, it's Wayne Corbett.
Right.
Give me a break.
Now, Fred Kirsch looks like he's chomping at the bit to get involved.
I would say that Shamarja, if he was fourth or lower, would be a good pick. But the problem with him
he's going to go in the first round.
That's the problem.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's all about value.
Oh, yeah, I don't think I don't know, I'm not going to speak for Tom, but I don't think we're saying that he doesn't deserve to be drafted.
No.
Yeah, I think I actually think he can have a good career in the NFL.
Well, he could have a decent, a Wayne Corbett, if you want to compare white receivers, like a Wayne Corbett kind of career where he can help you, he can move the chains a little bit. But if you're expecting him to come in and, be that number one receiver, you're fooling yourself.
No, he's not fast enough, for one thing.
And I think Tom's right. When he's playing against, the top-level teams, he has a hard time getting separation.
He's not that fast.
And just think about it.
He's a very thin tight end, really.
Think about it. If you're talking about first-round receivers, Calvin Johnson, Dwayne Jarrett, Jeff Samardzija, does he even belong in that class?
No,
seriously.
No, of course not. But
we got Fred stamped down.
But he can throw a ball 100 miles an hour baseball, so he might be going to baseball.
Like I said, a fifth-round pick in baseball is pretty good. I'm not saying that that's a bonus baby or anything, but he might have a future in baseball.
If somebody with Drew Henson's talent that he had at Michigan chose baseball, you got to feel that's the way to go for most of these guys.
See, I like Samardzija. I do. But I didn't like what he was doing last night in that first half. The taunting and yelling at the other sideline and all that crap. Who needs that? Who are you? You're not that good.
I don't think that. I think he's a nice college player. Yeah, I'm not saying he's without talent.
And I think, and you know what, Paul? I think mostly everybody on that Notre Dame team is a nice college player. Walker, nice college running back.
Yep.
The McKnight is a terrible receiver. He's horrible. He's terrible.
I think Charlie's got a lot of work to do.
He's got a lot more work than people are making it out to be.
And I think that maybe, and I'm not trying to absolve Charlie of any blame, okay? He lost three games both years. He lost every game that he played against a team that was had as good, if not better, talent than he did. He lost them all.
Except for Michigan. He beat them 10-3 when Michigan turned the ball over four times inside the 20-yard line, including the goal line fumble.
That was still a 7-5 Michigan team, so obviously they weren't the only one.
I know. And it's Lloyd Carr, so I don't really count it.
But I think that he has a major rebuilding job to do on that defense.
Oh, man.
Major. They have no talent in the defensive backfield.
Running right by them.
I've never seen so many wide receivers that were that wide open.
And they're not doing nothing. They're just running. And these guys are just standing there watching them run by. That's a terrible defense. And you know what? It helps play in the service academies, the three service academies.
Well, that's what I'm
saying. No team in the country plays all three service academies, and yet I have to hear how tough Notre Dame's schedule is. Give me a break.
All right. Let's go to Rick is next up. He's talking about the playoffs. I am really looking forward to this weekend's game against the Jets. I think the Pats will win big time. My other picks on Wild Card Weekend are the Eagles, the Cowboys, and the Colts. In your opinion, why did Eric Mangini get a head coaching opportunity so quickly compared to Charlie Weiss and Romeo Crennel? Is it because he is the young new guy on the block?
Absolutely.
Well, right now he's the best new guy on the block, if you're asking for my opinion. We keep hearing about Crennel and Weiss. Crennel hasn't done anything in Cleveland, first of all. And Weiss has only coached in college. We've seen what happens when college coaches come to the NFL, even if they have NFL experience. So if you're asking me which one is the best coach right now based on what they've just what they've done over a short period of time, I'll say Eric Mangini.
No, he's asking who. Why did Mangini get a job opportunity so much faster than the other
that
guys?
Question, I don't know.
That's
apparently,
what the question
Fred was saying teams didn't want to wait for because the Patriots kept going to the Super Bowl. Listen, as Paul said before,
that's
if you can't wait 2 weeks to install a 5 to 10 year system into your team, and you're probably not a very good organization to begin with. I mean, seriously, you have to go out and hire Dennis Erickson right now just so you get him and can't wait to interview Charlie Weiss.
I do think age has something to do with it, though, too, in that, you know, with Mangini, he's a young guy. I don't think Mangini earned the job that
he obviously
has proven us all wrong, at least initially, okay? Mm-hmm. But I don't think he earned the head coaching job that he got because he had 1 year as a coordinator, and
it wasn't that good.
It wasn't all that good.
No.
The 1 year that he was the coordinator, the defense was better this year mm-hmm. with a different coordinator than it was last year. Now, that's unfair in some ways, but not completely irrelevant. So I think it's sometimes that age, you know, he's a 35-year-old guy. We think he's got potential. We can go with him, whereas Weiss and Cornell, you know, Cornell especially, because he's mm-hmm. even older than Charlie. Maybe people say, well, you know what? He's never been a head coach. He's in his 50s, in his 60s. You know, when's he going to get a job? You know, maybe we just want to move on to something different. I think age has something to do with it. You think it has anything to do with it, Fred?
Why the Jets picked Mangini so quickly?
Well, and maybe why it took so long for the other two.
Well, I mean, the other two have been in the league for quite a while, but they didn't really have the Super Bowl success until, you know, 2001 and thereon, you know? So by that time, they got it pretty quickly. 3-4 years afterwards, they both got head coaching jobs. You know, so the success didn't come early in their coaching career like Mangini. Mangini got onto a successful team right away and started winning.
Yeah, but it took 3 Super Bowls. I mean, usually if you win one or two, you get rated.
Yeah,
I think
a lot of it is circumstances,
what
the jobs that were available, you know, what the team. Who the teams were that needed head coaches
maybe
at the time.
Maybe they weren't that interested either.
Yeah, right, exactly. Their knowledge of the team. The Jets had an intimate knowledge of what the Patriots were doing, so they targeted Mangini, you know?
All right, Ray's up next.
And don't forget, Mangini had an offer the year before to be the defensive coordinator for the Raiders, and he turned it down.
Right.
That was a good move.
Good set of games to finish off the season. This is Ray. I like having the momentum, although I was calling for Matt Castle by the third drive. Anyway, I don't want to talk about this week's opponent nor their coach. I'm interested in your opinion of what sort of long-term impact we can expect out of a couple of people or even just in the next few years. And he has a list of guys here. So why don't you guys give me your opinions as to what you're going to get out of these guys. Eugene Wilson.
Jeez, since I've started working for the New England Patriots, so I'll go based on that, this guy's done close to nothing.
I think that if he gets healthy, he'll get back to close to where he was when his first couple years.
You think so?
I think maybe
reserve corner.
I don't think
he'd
just lose that. Well,
maybe he wasn't as good as we thought he was at first.
I'll go back to this, and we were talking about this a couple of days ago. You know, Rodney Harrison's not going to be here forever.
No.
They've got to get that one guy back there. Who's their leader. No, what I'm saying is if they do that, I think that'll make Wilson better.
Yeah,
Wilson can't carry that load, and without a guy like Harrison, Wilson isn't as good.
Right.
Artrell Hawkins.
What he is, and he's going to be solid. He's going to be doing what he does for the next few years. It may not be with the Patriots, but yeah. But I think
he means with the Patriots.
I think he's found his stride.
I got to be honest with you. I don't think Hawkins wants to go anywhere else. I think he knows that he fits in well here, and I think he's happy here.
Yeah, I think he's hit his peak.
And I think if a contract comes up, they'll pay him enough for him to stay. It's not going to be a blockbuster deal, but it'll be enough for him to stay, and I could see him ending his career here.
Tabucky Jones.
See ya.
See, I had high hopes for him this year, but I mean, he obviously went on IR, so we'll never know. But from how he was treated while he was healthy in training camp, I think he's hit the end of the road.
Yeah, according to talent evaluator Andy Hart, he's not near the athlete that he once was.
Well, I'd
like to beat up on him, but I think he's right.
He was like third in the depth chart in training camp. You know,
Barry Gardner.
I forgot
I no
he was
idea.
On the. Is he on the team?
IR. He was a special teamer at best. He was a fill-in. I don't think he'll be here next year.
If you're counting on Barry Gardner next year at linebacker, you're in the same problem that you are right now. They got to bring in new linebackers on this team.
Kevin Faulk.
Well, I think they have to start looking to the future at that position as well. You know, third down, alternate.
Got to check on his contract.
Well, you don't have to worry about it. Did you ever hear of Brian Leonard, Rutgers?
What about him?
He's coming here.
Okay.
Put it in the books. That's the new third down slash whatever kind of back. That's him.
All right.
Jabbar Gaffney.
Fight to make
probably
the roster.
Probably one and done, depending on who they bring in.
Well, they'll have to upgrade a receiver to be able to get rid of him, but they have to upgrade.
And I'm sure they will. They're going to try anyway.
Josh McDaniels.
He'll probably be a head coach in 2 years.
I tell you,
sneaking around the chicken coop, watch it.
I mean, you got to admit, if we were going to criticize him early, we got to compliment him later.
I wasn't criticizing him early.
Well, I think people have.
I think he's done a great job.
It's not
all
always
year.
About you, Paul.
I think they have terrible talent on offense, and he's gotten a lot out of it.
I'm saying people were criticizing him early. You got to give him all the credit now because I think the last few games, their game plan's been perfect.
The only thing I'll disagree with you is I was criticizing Bill. Because I think Bill oversees everything.
Well, then I guess Bill gets the credit now, then.
I'm just saying, you can't just...
I'm just saying, you got to be consistent.
Right, and
you got to give him credit.
I'm consistent. I give him credit.
And I think he's done an okay job.
I think he's done a great job.
In his first year, but I'm saying, Bill...
I have no problem with the play call.
I think they have a great quarterback.
See, what we don't know...
And that's the only constant that he has on offense.
What we don't know.
You complained after the Colts game that they didn't run the ball enough.
I did.
Okay, now that's Belichick. He's the one that decides how much they're going to run, how much they're going to pass. I can't put that on McDaniels. I can't.
Well, all I know is this. We know that McDaniels calls the plays in. We don't know what goes on from Wednesday to Friday or the installation of the offense. Is that Belichick? Is it McDaniels?
That's Belichick.
It's Belichick. Well, and in Dallas, it's Parcells.
Maybe. It always was Belichick.
But it could be.
It was Belichick when Charlie was here.
I know, but it could be McDaniels coming up with
Parcells
it and having it approved by Belichick.
I don't think that's the way they do it. But you know,
they do the same. Listen, Peyton was there in Dallas. It was Parcells. It's always those two. They have total control of everything that goes on their football team.
Well, they might have final say, but what I'm saying is McDaniels could be doing the bulk of the work, and then Belichick just tweaks it a little or says, yeah, you're right on. I agree with it. I don't know.
I just think it's the other way around.
I do, too.
I think he does and then McDaniels does the actual play calling. He does the actual executing of the game.
And if Bill wants to run
Bill puts
ball more,
together the game.
So then really, Bill's still the offensive coordinator. Because
in my mind,
Bill's the head coach. He does everything.
In my mind, that's what an offensive coordinator does, is coming up with the offensive game plan. Not just calling the plays on game day. That's so
You're
what?
Talking about, but,
anybody
but,
can do
But different coaches look at it differently, Fred.
Did you just hear that? Anybody can do that. calling the plays.
But an offensive coordinator's job is coming up with the offensive game
Fred,
plan.
Who says what the job
do
is?
Things differently.
Where is this written?
Coach like Belichick.
Well, do you disagree?
Well, yeah, if I'm the head coach, that's not my my definition of my offensive coordinator.
What does your offensive coordinator do?
He calls the plays.
That's it?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
He oversees the offense. He calls the plays.
He oversees the offense.
I'm the head
Not
coach.
Just on
I
game
implement
day.
The game plan.
Not if just I, on game day.
If my ass is on the line, I'm implementing the game plan. We're going to go down the way I want to go down. That's if I'm the head coach.
Yeah, you can approve it, but the offensive coordinator is doing it for you. And then you say, yeah, I like that, or I don't like it, or change this, or keep that in, or whatever.
You asked me what my definition was. I told you.
I still think different coaches do it differently.
I think some
rely on their coordinators and some take
that's
total.
What
I definitely
said. We
think
don't
different,
know.
I think
we
different coaches
know.
Do it differently, but I know what Belichick does.
Yeah, he says we don't know. I've been around long enough that I'm pretty sure I know. I know.
Anyway, the Reverend Ray says that he hasn't been
Belichick
able
to, gets all the credit.
He hasn't been able to catch the show that much of late, but it's a welcome blend of silliness and football when I can.
I don't understand. Going back. What are you giving Josh McDaniels credit for?
Calling the plays, Fred.
That's it?
That's a huge part of the game.
That's it.
That's a big part of offense. Knowing when to call something and when to do
yeah,
this
and
that.
Getting in a groove and play calling.
Having a feel.
I agree
and a,
with
and,
it, but
you know,
he has. That's all he does?
No, he does other
I don't,
stuff,
First
Fred,
of all, no, that's not all he does. He also works with the players during the course of the game. They refine the game plan.
What
they
about,
go over what
about
they
Monday
do.
Through Friday? What does he do?
This practice, Fred. You got to go over this stuff. You're watching tape. You're noticing things.
So
you're implementing the game plan. You're showing them.
But in your mind,
look, Tom, this is what we're talking about.
In your mind,
this is what we think we can exploit.
In your
Brady's a big part of that too.
All he's doing is what Bill tells him to do.
Well, yeah, I do think that. Yes.
Okay.
I think all the coaches
are in that. I just want to make clear of that.
I think all the coaches are in that category.
I just want to make that clear. That's
I happen to think that Bill's the best coach in the league, not because he just sits around and lets everybody else do it, because he's doing
it. If they're going to spread it out that week, it's Bill's call. If they're going to run the football predominantly
and
that week, that's Bill's call.
And you might
call.
Be
that's
right.
What I
just want to know what you guys are thinking.
That's
what we're thinking.
So then Bill gets the credit.
I certainly don't think he's sitting around saying.
I think he's gotten quite a bit of credit over the years, Fred.
I don't think he's.
I agree with it, and I give it to him.
I just don't think he sits around doing nothing.
When did we have never given Belichick credit? We all think he's the best coach in football by a mile.
I just want to know what you think Josh McDaniels gets credit for.
I told you. I think he's done a very good job with only one real constant, in my opinion. They've had a spotty running game. The offensive line has been great some weeks, but so-so other weeks. The receivers, I think, are dreadful. They have a tight end that can't hold on to the ball after he catches it. But yet they've been able to move the ball on a pretty consistent basis and put up a fair amount of points. I think McDaniels gets some credit for that, finding ways to call plays in a manner which to make them productive. If I'm wrong on that, that's fine. It's just my opinion. It's not law. It's not man law. It's just an opinion.
Okay.
I think that Belichick makes the game plan and McDaniels implements it.
Implements it.
Yes.
That's what I think.
He calls the plays on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and you are completely dismissing the importance of that.
No, I'm not. I'm saying that an offensive coordinator's job is more than that.
Says who is what I'm saying for that.
Well, I mean, yeah, a lot of teams, your offensive coordinator doesn't even do that. Look at what Parcells did to Sean Payton when he was at Dallas. But, you know, Parcells took that job away from Charlie Weiss at one point.
Didn't Belichick do it to Mangini last year?
I don't know.
Yes.
That's what we hear.
That's what we hear. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
That's what the players said.
Fred, you should try this. Do you see all those athletes that are losing weight on this Dan Marino thing?
Yeah.
I'm intrigued by that.
I heard about that. They must be paying those guys a bundle.
I could eat a lot of burgers and still lose weight.
I got to check that out.
All right. PJ is next up. We'll move on here, and Fred and Tom and I will agree to disagree.
I'm just asking. I'm trying to make clear what you're giving McDaniels credit for.
And I told you in about seven different ways.
Okay.
I can't be more clear.
I'm off, PJ.
You're off, PJ?
Yeah, every time I make a bad pick, he makes sure to bring it up the next day.
First of all, I need whoever is there to school Fred a little bit. Yesterday he said that he heard reports that Tom Brady was going to Miami to hang out. Fred, in all of his infinite wisdom, concluded that he was going there to watch Michigan in the Rose Bowl.
That's crap. Because I said that I thought that Brady was leaving to go to watch the Rose Bowl, but we knew he was in Miami. So this guy's an idiot.
So why couldn't it be the Orange Bowl?
Fred's a little
even though
that
had nothing to do with
host.
It anyway.
Right, because Michigan was playing in the Rose Bowl. That's why.
Okay. Anyway, can someone please explain geography to Fred? Also, we'll let you off the hook on that one, okay?
Well,
Fred's not playing
because,
along. Fred's
because
very
the guy's
upset.
An idiot and he didn't listen.
PJ, you're getting chastised by Fred. He's very upset. Also, I said yesterday that the Boise State game was the best finish ever. I am not just talking about the two-point conversion, which was great, but what about the last minute 30? Oklahoma touchdown plus two-point conversion on the third try, then interception run back for a touchdown, then a Boise State touchdown on a hook and lateral on 4th and 18, then a Boise State touchdown on OT thrown by a wide receiver, finally topped off by the behind-the-back Statue of Liberty play. That was unbelievable. On to the Pats. I don't understand why Andy – you know how many comments could start with, I don't understand why Andy Hart
– Just a quick note, though. There's been a heck of a lot of good finishes in college football. I've seen five touchdowns scored in the last 3 minutes, UCLA, Oregon, back when Cade McNown was the quarterback and I had the over. there was one I remember when Flutie threw this pass once. I mean,
that's the most overrated one ever.
But I hate to use the word ever because it was the last one we've seen.
Right.
You know
it was
I mean?
A great finish. I loved it. I found it one of the best games
ever
seen.
A lot of people think the USC-Texas was the greatest college game ever played.
That's one of them.
That would have to be up there.
There are a lot of great
ones. And I would put that over this one because of the stakes.
And I agree with Andy. This one, because of the quirkiness of the plays and the innovative, you know, the things you don't see a lot, that made it special. And plus, it was the underdog. It was the Boise State team that was playing the big boys, so that made it special, too.
Anyway, PJ finishes up here. I don't understand why Andy Hart is always looking for the negative with the Pats.
He is, man.
Fred said that he is happy that the Pats are playing well going into the postseason, and Andy says, quote, Yeah, but that means they're due to lay an egg. Did you really say that? He's such an ass. So what are you saying, Andy? Would you rather be going into the playoffs like the Cowboys because they are due for a couple of good games? That's ridiculous. I agree with you, PJ.
Yes.
Andy is ridiculous. P.S. Hey, Tom, my wife is pregnant, and we just found out that it is a boy. You are destined to have a girl.
Jesus.
I can see it now. Tom sitting at his daughter's dance recital while missing the whole day of college football. I could definitely see that.
Well, what's the name going to be?
Hey,
Soda?
Seven.
Seven, that's right. Shane is next up here. He has a little true or false, guys. You guys both want to play?
Sure.
If Romeo Crennel is fired from the Browns,
he
will be on the Pat staff next year.
False.
Really?
False.
Yeah. I say true.
The well's been polluted.
If Romeo Crennel is fired by the Browns, Charlie Weiss should hire him as defensive coordinator because the Fighting Irish defense is horrible.
Well, is he going to play?
Well, he should, but he won't.
No, I think Romeo will have some options out there from other teams, too, and we'll have to see what
I don't think he's getting fired, or else, you know,
Yeah, it seems like that's one of those ones that kind of would have been done
already.
Yeah,
they would have done it already and then get rid of these guys.
You know what's going to happen? Probably there at Del Rio, where he's going to have to shake things up a little bit.
Exactly.
Maybe, the coaching
staff. Telling him he has to get rid of a lot of his offensive guys, including Jeff Davidson.
Brady Quinn will be the top pick in this year's draft.
Unfortunately, true.
The number one pick?
Yep.
See, it's the Raiders. Think they'd pick him?
They need a quarterback. I mean,
yeah.
Who knows what the Raiders
are
going to do.
I don't know.
David Thomas will catch more passes in the playoffs than Benjamin Watson.
True.
I say false.
I'm not sure how much Watson's going to play. That's the reason why
false.
I'm saying
I think he's going to play.
But I think he will, too, and I think he'll catch.
That's obviously
in other
part
words,
of the question.
Guys, in other words, you guys know he's going to play, and you haven't told me.
No,
yet, so
no,
I switched my answer to false.
I'm just going by the fact that he's practiced the last 2 weeks. That's
all. Right, well, then
obviously, if he's not going to play, then I'm going to go with David Thomas.
Why would you think that I have injury information that you don't have?
Sometimes you guys get things and forget to share it with the rest of us.
Oh, please.
Oh, cry me a river. Asante Samuel will re-sign with the Pats.
False.
True.
Not even close.
True.
False.
I'm saying true.
I say false. The Pats
Denver
will,
Broncos.
The Pats will sign either Lance Briggs or Adalius Thomas this offseason.
False.
False.
I say false. This is Troy Brown's last year.
Let's
true.
False. One more.
That could go either way. I'll just say true just for
maybe one
pooping
more.
Giggles.
I got a call from his somebody representing him. His agent is Cleon Vasquez.
That's his marketing.
Somebody working with him. They're making a TV show about Troy Brown, about all. It's kind of like a documentary about all the stuff that he does off the field.
I need more cumin.
Corey Dillon will
Ryan Leaf.
Corey Dillon will get more carries than Lawrence Maroney on Sunday. That's a good one.
Ooh, that is a good one. I'm going to say false. I say Maroney gets more.
I'm going to say they're even, like they always are.
I'm going to
say Maroney will only get
true.
He'll have three. They'll each be 40 yarders.
I'm going to say true that Dylan's going to get more, and my reasoning is I think the Patriots are going to win this game, and in the fourth quarter,
the
hammer's going to get dropped.
Yeah, I agree.
I'll stick with Maroney.
Nine is Chad Jackson will catch at least 30 passes and have at least 5 touchdowns next year.
True.
I got to say, it's got to be true. How could he be any worse than that again?
It's true.
I mean, if he doesn't get that next year,
then he's a bust.
He's a colossal bust, and you got to get rid of
him. Absolutely.
So I'll say true. The Patriots will play in Super Bowl 41 in Miami.
False.
I'll let you go first.
I'll say false.
I will, too.
Wow!
I think they'll make a run at it, but they won't be able to.
Spider. Yeah, I fear no one. I don't fear any of these teams in this league, but I just think it's too tall to task.
It's hard to say, based on what they've done so far this year, that they'll be consistent enough in all phases of the game to beat Baltimore and San Diego.
Yeah, and you know what I'm a little bit worried about, too, is Baltimore seems to have that bulliness back to them, that defense where they're not afraid. You know how we always say Baltimore's a bunch of bullies?
Yeah.
They kind of got that swagger back to them now where they got that look to them, and that's what's worrying me about Baltimore. I think they could end up winning it all.
You know, the thing when Baltimore won their Super Bowl, the thing that amazed me most about their defense is not so much, you know, the pressure that they put on quarterbacks it's the sure tackling.
Yeah,
I mean,
very
like you said
tacklers.
The other day, if it was a 2 yard out and you caught it, that's all you were getting was 2 yards.
Yeah.
They never
very
missed the tackle. And they're back to that. They're back to that just sure tackling.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, if they do end up winning it all, you got to give a lot of props to that Nada inside, because he must be making a real difference for him, because that defense wasn't nearly the same last year.
And one of the few times, we talked about this yesterday.
Ray Lewis, you know, clean.
One of the few times that a coach made a scapegoat move in the middle of the season that it worked.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, ever since Billick took over that offense, they've been pretty consistent.
Well, if you talk to people in New York, they'll tell you any team without Jim Fassel is a better football team.
He owes me money.
The last one is Tom Casale secretly worships Andy Hart and wishes he was more like him.
Andy Hart?
I say true.
Look at that douchebag. I think Andy Hart's funny. That's all I think about him. I don't think anything else. I don't think he's very intelligent. I don't think he makes very good football observations. I think he's the incredible shrinking man. Pretty soon he's going to be nothing more than a big head with a little body like one of those stick figures. But he is funny. I'll give him
that. Speaking of big heads with little bodies, is Pac-Man Jones' helmet just oversized, or does he have the biggest head for the size of his body you've ever seen?
I think they all, the guys that all have the dreads that hang out, they always look like they have those huge.
Maybe they have oversized helmets just so that the dreads fit in them. Yeah.
They might. All right. Phil is on the phone line, Jason. Phil in Austin. Phil, how you doing? I got nothing.
Hello, engine room. Phil.
Paul?
Yay. How you doing?
Good.
All right. You got Tom and Fred here, too.
Yeah, I heard you say you guys don't really think the Patriots are going to make the Super Bowl. I kind of agree with you, but what I want to ask each of you is, you know, what would it take for you guys to be satisfied with the team this year? You satisfied just going 12-4, or do they have to go to a certain level in the playoffs?
I'd like them to win the next two games, and then I'll say
yeah,
it was
they got
a,
to
it was
the
a
championship game.
Yeah.
I think that's a heck of a season.
I'll take one win. I'll be a little easier than my two.
I wouldn't be totally disappointed with that, but I'm saying if you're saying it was a very good season, if they can get two wins in the playoffs.
I mean, if they beat the Jets and then play, let's say, Baltimore and lose by a point, I'm not going to be overly downcast about that. You know, if they get blown out by Baltimore, then we have to go back and say, look, they just weren't competitive
Denny
with the better teams.
Denny Green, they were who we thought they were.
Yeah, I mean, so I'd like them to be very competitive and or win their second playoff game.
Yeah.
What do you think, Phil?
Well, I think they have to beat the Jets, otherwise I'm going to be embarrassed.
Well, that's
yeah,
a given.
It would be a disappointment if they lost to the Jets. No, they're a better team.
Tom has to pucker up if the Jets win.
They're a better team than the Jets.
I think, you know, normally 12 wins would be a good season, but I think that 12-4 is kind of soft. It kind of reminds me of Jacksonville last year.
A little bit.
I mean, the very fact that pretty much everyone on the PFW staff picked them to be 12-4 means that, you know, they really should have, because if anything, these guys would pick for, you know, less wins because they're against the Patriots.
Right.
Yeah, because we picked them to win 12 games.
Right.
Which
is an obvious sign that we were always against them. We thought they would win 3 out of every 4 of the games they played this year.
If you had any reason to pick otherwise, you would have picked lower, but you had to pick.
It just shows you that when we all had the same prediction, all four of us had the same 12-4, and I think Brian Lowe, actually, all five of us had the same prediction.
It was pretty obvious.
It was one of those years you could go through and say, win, 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 loss, win, loss, win, 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 and you were pretty close.
We'll be able to do that next year.
Well,
totally different schedule.
Won't be seeing him no more.
What's the fan buzz up there for the game? I was reading on the one of the Jets chat rooms that there's a lot of Jets fans going up. They're getting tickets pretty cheap.
That's what I heard, too.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of Jet fans here.
Oh, I don't like that.
No, yeah. We've got to do something about
How
that.
How are they getting tickets? We're sold out.
People down.
Well, the usual
way. They just sold a bunch of tickets last week.
And people
they had a whole bunch that were on
tickets.
I'm not in the ticket meeting.
Well, they probably bought 2,000 or so.
I don't know
what they made available.
Whatever many they made available.
I heard there's a whole caravan coming.
Wow.
I mean, let's face it. There's not going to be a discernible Jets influence in the crowd of 68,000 Patriots fans, you know?
No, but it's, you know, it could be a barometer as what the, you know, what the Patriots fans,
if the tickets on the street are, you know, about face value, that's a sign
Although
that there's not a lot of demand.
The 5,000 Jet fans could be louder than the 63,000 Patriots
fans. And that's very possible. Yeah.
That's true. You got a prediction for the week, Phil, before we let you go?
Yeah, I think the spread's a little high.
I
think the Patriots are going to win. Typical AFC East game, low scoring. Close score, comes down to the end, but, you know, I think the Patriots, if they play to their capabilities and the Jets play to their capabilities, I think the Patriots, you know, win. Although I think it's easy, I don't think it's going to be, you know, I don't think it's going to be a blowout.
Yeah, that's the consensus.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I was listening to Dale and Holly before I came down here, and they're asking for Jets fans to call in and give them a reason why the Jets can win this game. I mean, it's pretty arrogant. You know, we're pretty sure of ourselves going into this one. I mean, I think we should be, but it makes you a little bit scared.
Well, I think if the Jets can get as much pressure on Brady as they did last game, they can win for sure.
Absolutely, but do you think that's going to happen?
I think Paul said it correctly a little while ago. You don't know which offensive line is going to show up from week to week.
Yeah, well, there's an element of truth to that. They've been very inconsistent on offense. When they've been good, they've been pretty good. They've moved the ball. They've scored points. They've been very efficient in the red zone. But there have been times where they look like they can't move it at all, and you fear that that happens in the playoffs in one of these games, which is why, big picture here, I don't think they can go to the Super Bowl. I would think in a span of 3 weeks against three playoff teams, you have one of those games where you don't move the ball very well.
Yeah, I think a factor in that is Graham. I think Graham, the last couple of games, has played great.
I think so, too.
I think his blocking has been terrific, and I think he's going to be really a factor in this playoffs, or could possibly be.
Right. Everybody likes the Pats in this one around here. Just to answer your original question, Phil, pretty much, you know, no one's really given the Jets much of a chance.
What happens if Watson comes back? Do they play three tight ends?
No.
Not at once, but are they going to dress all three?
Well, all three will be dressed.
Okay.
Yeah, no question about that. Thomas was dressed every game this year, whether the other two were dressed or not. So, yeah, they'll all three be dressed.
Okay.
They'll have some three tight end packages, but I think that you go back to Watson and Graham as your base offense.
Well, take care, guys, and I hope you're on every day next week.
All right. Us too.
Bye now.
Howard is next up. He was talking. He has a comment on our offensive defensive coordinator stuff. Just a few thoughts. I recall during one of the Super Bowl years that Bill and the team were down at the Super Bowl site while the coaches stayed back in Foxborough to create the offensive and defensive game plans. I also recall reading last year, when there was no OC per se, that it was reported that all of the offensive coaches contributed to the creation of the weekly game plan. Now, BB may give the basic framework of what he expects / wants / thinks they should do, but I have to believe he delegates the details of the plan to the staff. So there's one on your side.
Yeah, but see, this is getting out of control.
I think that's wrong, but it's one on your side.
But I'm not saying that the offensive coaches don't have any say. I'm saying the primary game plan is installed by Bill Belichick. What you saw in Minnesota, that was Belichick. What you saw in Jacksonville, that was Belichick. Now, the play calling was McDaniels, but the primary, we're going to spread them out this week, Bill came up with that. That's what I'm saying.
And that's how I feel. And when Bill's, you know, let's not confuse the fact that if Bill is doing something else, that he's not.
Yeah.
He's not.
Bill's always doing everything.
Fred will tell you, and we've seen him many, many times on that plane on the way home from games, and he's well into the game plan for the future.
Oh, the guy's amazing.
And it's not. I'm not even talking about the next game.
Right.
I'm talking about
three games
future.
Down the road.
You know. So let's.
He does everything from read PFW articles.
Right. Let's not say that because he is on the Super Bowl site that he's not there to put together a game plan. Plus, I also think that he had probably more faith in what Charlie and Romeo were doing than...
Yeah, they were kind of sharing the same brain at that
exactly,
point.
Exactly, you know. So there's a little different. Let's see. Shannon is next up. Happy playoffs to you and all Pats fans. I'm hoping to upgrade my 3-times champs shirt to the 4-time champs. I don't think the hit on Harrison was dirty, and then again, it kind of was. He was in the play and very well should have been blocked. And for a smallish wide receiver to take out a stronger and bigger safety like Rodney, they should go to his legs. But not by putting a helmet on his knee. I hope the Titans go 5-11 next year with their crappy uniforms, fake fans, grumpy center, and a coach that looks too much like my dad. Have fun golfing and doing whatever losers do that don't make the playoffs. Did I hear Tom Casale say that Corey Dillon had a good game? Wow. Or should I say, what?
And I'm also doing a story on his Hall of Fame potential. See, that shows that I can be an objective journalist and put my personal differences aside, unlike one Andy Hart, who just showed up.
You know, on the Harrison hit, I'd love to make out this guy Wade as the next Ulf Samuelson, but I don't think it was a dirty hit.
It wasn't.
I don't really think it was.
I don't think it was either.
I don't think anybody can argue that and have come up with a good side.
Well, this guy thinks he put his
he didn't have to have his helmet on.
You know how hard
it
is to go for a block.
You ever blocked
the
guy?
I'm going to put my helmet right into his knee.
Right.
Stupid.
Yeah.
What is the over-under for how many wah Tom says in a two-hour show? I'm going with 26 and a half.
I'll take the under.
What's the over-under with how big of a douchebag that guy is? I'll take the over.
Wow. Lastly, whatever happened to Robert Edwards? I think he was...
He's in Canada.
He was the last...
He's got
I think
one
he
leg.
Was last with the hated fish in a backup role. Can you give me an update?
Is he playing?
In Canada.
No, he's in Canada playing?
Still in Canada.
Patriots 28, Jets 14. I almost forgot. Sawyer from Iowa bugs me to no Dickens. To no Dickens.
What does Sawyer do?
What does Sawyer do?
Now you know how I feel.
Go with your first name already. Sawyer. No one cares if you have the same name as four other emails.
How do we know that his first...
He changed his name.
No.
To what?
He was the same, I don't know, Josh maybe? He wrote in one week.
Who the hell are you to tell him what to email
is? that's a different argument.
The emailer on emailer crime.
The positive Andy Hart is here, everybody.
Well, let's keep to your own business.
Well, emailers have been writing in saying they don't care for your negativity, and
Patriots
I tend to agree with
them. Patriots are due to lay an egg because they've been playing well lately.
Who said that?
You did.
When did I say that?
Yesterday.
No.
I said
Glenn Ordway told me when
I
got to
the
picture.
I said I'm happy that the Patriots are playing well going into the playoffs. You go, well, that means they're due to lay an egg.
Well, it's kind of true.
Why?
Because they haven't played a month of good football in forever.
Well, don't you think it's good that they're starting to?
Yeah, and if they keep going, that's even better.
Jesus.
I have high standards.
Do you see what
again.
He does? Do you see
high
what he does?
High standards.
Well, I didn't say that. Then he realizes, well, yeah, I did say that. So now he has to just go out, stay in the corner.
I said it.
Just start swinging blindly until he gets his way out of the corner.
I said it half tongue-in-cheek yesterday.
Obviously.
I am a loser.
Well, not obviously.
Well, there's pretty much nothing
no,
you say
No, obviously,
that's
based
not
on your argument.
No.
You think you got problems. I got guys calling me a hunk.
Yeah, you have no problems compared to Tom. He doesn't know what's going on.
I'd much rather
By the
they
way,
talk
Tom
about
would
my
like
negativity.
Your email address, whoever
yeah.
called him that.
Anyway.
Because he'd like to, what is your phrase?
Before we take a break, we'll get...
I'm going to be doing it to you pretty soon if you don't shut up.
Yeah. Yesterday he wanted to kiss my butt. Now he wants to bend me. I just can't take...
We were talking about stadium noise. I don't know if you know, Andy, but a lot of Jets fans evidently have had no problems whatsoever getting tickets to the game. So,
really?
Stadium noise has been an issue. Neil says he was at the Chicago game in early November along with two dozen other UK-based fans for a truly unforgettable, fantastic weekend.
Hey, I saw those guys at the radio thing that we do. The UK fans, they were all
yeah.
there.
We spent the whole game cheering and shouting and making as much noise as humanly possible when Chicago was on offense. The day after, we read reports that the crowd noise at the Bears game was much louder than the norm. Unfortunately, I'll be 3,000 miles or so away from Foxborough on Sunday and I can't shout that loud to be heard. So I would like to ask you to insist that the lucky Patriots fans at the Jets game must shout, holler, scream, whistle, and do anything possible to put the Jets off their game. In fact, if anyone is still in their seat with their mouth shut on third down, please send Tom down there to physically encourage them to help out the team.
Well, that would be Paul. He would be in his seat, and so would I.
I would be in my seat.
A seat in your living room.
I don't even like getting up in the press box, unless it's to go get another cookie.
That damn anthem gets you every time, huh?
That is annoying.
Especially some of the ones that we've had this year that have just taken forever.
They take forever, yeah.
That one last week was a good 12 minutes.
Right, I wasn't
Jason,
a big fan of the harmonica one either.
Let's head a quick break. We'll get Fred back in the big cheese chair, and we'll be with our picks after this.
Hey, sweetie, when I picked up the dry cleaning today, I put 43 cents into our savings.
I'll alert the media.
Introducing Keep the Change from Bank of America.
And at lunch, I put away 61 cents.
Really? That much?
Each time you buy something with your Bank of America Visa check card, we round up the amount to the next dollar and transfer your change from your checking to your savings account.
I checked online, and so far we've saved $2.25.
Wow. A whole $2.25.
Try $225.
Oh.
Plus, we'll match 100% of your Keep the Change savings for the first 3 months and continue matching 5% up to $250 a year.
I'm back from the store. Just saved 8 cents.
I'll alert the media.
Open a checking account and keep the change. Only at Bank of America. Higher standards. Match paid annually after anniversary of enrollment. Savings accounts include regular savings with annual percentage yield of 0.5%. Member FDIC. Patent pending.
It's
here at your local Ford store. Comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell. That's right. Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle, every Explorer, even every F-Series truck. Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords. 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4410. Ford, bold moves.
Come on.
Yo, I'm Diane.
And this is Elaine.
We're the twins, and you're listening to Patriots.com Radio.
When you got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks, and more. With Patriots Gridiron Grillers, you don't have to wait for the game for that great stadium taste. Gridiron Grillers are available at Agar and CMS Wholesalers, Big Y, DeMoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Food Master, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farms, Shaw's, Stop and Shop, and at your local supermarket. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
This is PFW in progress.
Hello, fellas. Everybody's here. Freddy, Tom, good to see you.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
I do you a favor and take Freddy in when you're having a bad time, and then you try to push me out. I gotta kick asses sometimes to make it run right. We had a little argument, Freddy and I, so I had to straighten him out. He was banging cocktail waitresses two at a time.
Paul Perillo.
Come over here, kid. Learn something. You start out with a little bit of oil. Then you fry some garlic. Then you throw in some tomatoes and tomato paste. You fry it. You make sure it doesn't stick. You got it to a boil. You shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. And a little bit of wine.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
Cut the crap. I got more important things for you to do. How's Paulie?
Oh, Paulie won't see him no more.
And Andy. And Andy?
I can handle things. I'm smart. Not like everybody says. Like dumb. I'm smart. And I want to spend.
Andy Hart.
I know it was you. You broke my heart. You broke my heart.
Some guy named Tom.
Tom's no longer conciliating. Gonna be our lawyer in Vegas. That's no reflection on Tom, but that's the way I want it.
Mike, why am I out?
You're not a wartime conciliating, Tom. Things may get rough with the move we're trying.
Maybe I could help.
You're out, Tom.
PFW in progress.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
All right, welcome back to PFW in progress. As Paul previewed, it's time to do our picks. We only have four this week because it's wild card weekend. And so it's going to be very quick,
yeah.
I guess. And we could get back to emails, perhaps, depending on how fast we get through this. But, Paul, the season's over.
That's correct.
Now, do we keep adding it up or
We'll do the playoffs.
We make them worth more.
Because I points. Won.
So somehow I can come back.
Well, how did last week go, and how did we do in the season?
Well, we finished up, Fred. You actually had the high mark of the week at 11-5. I was 10-6. Tom and Andy were 9-7. By the spread, you also took the high mark with 10-6. Andy and Tom 9-7. I was 8-8. So for the season, I won it by one game over Andy, 154-102. Andy 153-103. And then Fred 152-104, and Tom 150-106.
Wow, you lost to Fred.
Yeah.
By the spread, Fred Kirsch wins it. The only one to finish over 500 at 194.
It's pretty good, Fred.
That's why I'm the boss.
That's a pretty good mind. Tom 97-97. That's thoroughly mediocre.
Yeah, that was, I lost the VIG.
Yeah. But even that, yeah, I was thinking, like, you know, if you're 5 or 6 games over 500 for a whole season.
That's really good.
And yeah, but let's say you bet $100 on each game. That's like tens of thousands of dollars bet to make $600.
But we're doing every game. I like what Paul does on the Big Show, where they get to pick like four games.
Yeah.
That's more interesting, because then you can see. Because part of the thing of gambling is picking the right game.
Right.
And that's why I'm so bad at it. Because if you pick every game, it's not really that much involved in it. You have to pick somebody. You have to pick it.
Right.
But if you're picking the games, this is what you're really picking out something.
This is what you really believe
in. And I've been really bad at that.
Yeah.
Anyway, I went 95 and 99, and Andy went 93 and 101.
Hey, I wasn't that far behind.
Well, and, you know, I'd like to congratulate Paul on his victory, Fred on his victory for the newspaper. Paul and I won, and Andy, I'd like to
congratulate you on finishing in sixth.
I thought Bilo won the newspaper.
No, Bilo, he'll probably tell you that, but Bilo sunk like a stone.
Really?
I'm having all kinds of issues.
He sunk like I sunk on the radio.
You hearing crackiness?
Yeah.
Me too.
I think these connections are getting bad.
I'm saying it's the guy behind the glass.
I was about to say that. When Gary's not here, something goes wrong.
The doctor, Jason Dvorkin, is back there with his...
Gary's on the injury report
death
right
machine.
Now. I got to admit, though, Fred, that 6 games over 500 for you, that's impressive.
Why for me?
I'm just saying.
Look out, there's a backhand coming.
What? Because you don't look... You don't even know who's playing who when we get down here, let's be honest.
Tom, I tried to explain it to you. It's a feeling that you have for the game.
I'm impressed. It's
for the game of football.
It's a good feel.
So he admits he knows nothing.
I don't.
You're like that 85-year-old woman who pulls out the NCAA tournament thing
and wins. As far as the details
of the,
you know, that's what I pay you guys for. But I'm a big picture guy. All right.
So I'm getting fired.
Well, you should really sack up and quit.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. If I do, all the Casaliacs out there, they're going to be all over you, because they know since I came here and took over.
Casaliacs? What the hell is a Casaliac?
That's
the
like
guy's
the...
giving himself a fan club now, like the Hulkamaniacs.
Right.
What kind of a loser we have working for us.
Since I took over for that loser, Brian Morey, the show's done nothing but gone up in the ratings.
Yeah, but that was like taking over for, I mean, there was you could only go up from there.
I can't help who Fred is hiring.
That's kind of like the true false on Chad Jackson. Will he have 30 catches and five?
It's like Tony Romo coming in for Drew. It could only get better.
Whoa!
But yet it didn't.
Well, it did for a little while.
Okay.
All
right.
9-7 is 9-7.
Boy, you know what? Remember my record last year in the playoffs? I was like 1-14.
I think didn't
that?
You win like every game last year in the playoffs?
Yeah,
maybe?
Probably. I don't know.
Well, let's see what happens this year. This is it.
But if you're going with it, I'm going with it.
But this is the Chad Jackson thing, Paul. I can only do better. Take my playoffs this year, because I can only do better than what I did my 2-12 or something last year.
I think, you know, although it's only 4 games, it's still very, very difficult to go 4-0.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God, yeah.
It's
what makes I did last year so impressive.
Even games. I think you might have lost like 1 game last year.
I think
year.
I did, too. Yeah. I remember bragging about something.
I'd like to go back in the
go to the archives. Go look it up. We have some new
just
thing,
so you
don't
know,
we?
You know that I can do that, right?
I know, and mine is I won 2 games. I was like 2-12, but I'm going to say Andy Hart lost
I'm saying
more
I was,
than 1 game.
I only lost one game.
Well, you pick against the Patriots all the time. You know, you finally got lucky.
That's how I won.
I think that was the one loss you had in the first round. Didn't you think Jacksonville was going to win, you
no.
idiot?
No, I did. That's why I was 2-12.
That idiot did.
All right, well, let's get to it then. Saturday, 4:30 is the first game, and this is the AFC matchup. Kansas City at Indianapolis. Andy.
Don't I need a spread?
I'll give it a number.
Oh, seven, the number. It? I don't have the number. yes, they do spreads for the playoffs, and I don't
believe
have it in
seven.
Front of me.
We'll bring them
Paul
to you
is,
as soon as Paul finds them in the paper.
Leafing through the Herald. Paul
you have to go past Will McDonough's
drunk
photo.
Indianapolis by 7.
Indianapolis by 7 at home.
I know this is sort of everybody points to Larry Johnson. He's going to run all over the Colts, and this is a bad matchup for them, and they're not playing well. And that's probably true. I think their offense... You know, their defense has always been suspect. Their offense has had its struggles at times this year. I don't think this is going to be one of them. I think this is a week where people are going to get back on the Indy bandwagon a little bit and just kind of shut everybody up who thinks this is that big upset in the making because of the matchup of the running game and the run defense. I think this one could be 21-0, 12 minutes into the game, and game set match. I think the Colts roll to victory. I think they win big, cover pretty easily.
Ty Law a factor at all, though, against Peyton Manning?
as Tom said, he made a nice play, a headsy play last week, but he's not exactly quick anymore. He needs to make the headsy
might
play.
Might have a little insight into playing him.
And he might, but that's not enough. No. Colts roll.
Okay.
Well,
Tom?
I'm going to disagree with Andy a little bit, because I think we've all said it here, and through my years of gambling, I've always taken one thing into the playoffs. If you can't stop the run, there's not a darn thing you can do about it. We've waited and waited and waited. Last week, the Colts had a game at home they needed to win against the Miami Dolphins team headed by Cleo Lemon, and they're lucky the Dolphins had to settle for field goals most of the time, and they only won by 5 points. I'm going to take the Colts to win, but closer than the experts think. I'm going to go with the 7 points. I think Larry Johnson racks up about 160 on the ground, keeps them in the game, but the Colts, too much firepower at the end.
Okay.
160 on the ground. Well, I'm going to go +230.
I'm going to go with Andy because I too kind of have noticed all of the talk about, you know, this Kansas City is going to beat Indy, and we all know that Patriots fans are going to pick that because that suits the Patriots. They'll be able to play Baltimore instead.
I'm hoping for it.
And I'm hoping for it just from purely selfish reasons.
I'll be wearing
that
a Larry Johnson jersey on Saturday.
Baltimore is closer to New England than San Diego, so it's purely selfish on my part.
People are laughing at Tom right now. He really wears jerseys when he watches games.
Well, I hate to fly so much that I'm going to be rooting for the Chiefs like heck.
Oh,
but I'll
think
probably,
we all are. But
I'll be writing the Indianapolis preview story most likely.
Yeah. So I agree with Andy, though. I think that if Indy – it's all about the first quarter in this game. If Indy gets the ball and gets the lead and can get the offense moving, I don't think Kansas City will stop them. It's just a matter of how much time Kansas City takes and whether or not they get in the end zone. I think that what the Colts did last week, they can keep doing. Bob Sanders is coming back. They're undefeated when he plays. I know it sounds stupid to put that much stock in his safety, but evidently he's been that important for that team. And I've said it all year long.
Do it in Dallas.
16 times they played. 16 times they got completely dominated against the run, and they were able to win 12 of those games. I don't think they have a prayer in hell of going to the Super Bowl, but I think they can beat the Kansas City Chiefs at home.
Yeah, I just haven't been. Kansas City's 9-7. I didn't think they were that good. They surprised me a lot this year. To me, it comes down to Kansas City defense. You know, how much they can just get a few punts out of the Colts offense, but I just don't think enough. I got to go with the Colts in this game, and I'm going to go with them to cover because they'll probably
offense,
get a late.
Colts offense hasn't really been playing that
they have
well.
Not.
You know what I think
well,
they missed?
That's been the big reason
I
why.
Think they
that's
why
they
it, fire that Stokely, up. Stokely, Dallas Clark, who's been injured this
and
year.
He's back.
That, I know, but I'm saying I think they've missed that throughout the season, that third guy
in
the middle there.
I wholeheartedly agree with you. Yeah. I think the biggest reason why they've struggled in the last half is the offense, not the defense.
Yeah. Well, I'm
because the defense has been bad all season.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Colts and also them to cover, you know, just some meaningless type of score at the end or, you know. So, yeah, we're looking at some thing on TV. All right, so everyone's going with the Colts.
To win, yeah.
Yeah, but we're all rooting for Kansas City.
No question.
So we all want to be wrong on that one. Okay, Saturday night, 8 o'clock. This is the game, Tom. Here it is.
What you're talking about? I like Seattle.
Dallas at Seattle.
This is between games. Tom will switch jerseys and put his Cowboys jersey on, and then he'll
his
Cowboys lose.
I'll be writing the preview story. That's what I'll be doing.
With a Cowboys jersey on, probably.
I don't even own a Cowboys jersey. Yeah. I don't know what you're talking
about. There's about as much chance of you not watching that Cowboys game.
I'm going to watch it, but I'm going to be doing the preview story.
With a Cowboys shirt on. Andy's right.
I will not. I will have my gray sweatpants and my black sweatshirt on.
I ain't buying. Anyway.
Training camp gear.
Yeah.
I think Tom laughed at me a couple weeks ago. I think the Cowboys are a very talented team, probably the most talented team in the NFC. They just don't play like it. You know, it's sort of the Giants thing where they've got everybody going in different directions, everybody saying different things. The coach, who's supposed to be a mastermind of psychology and pushing the right buttons, isn't getting it done in terms of that and keeping everybody on one focused page. So I think the Seahawks get the win here. At home, and I think they win pretty easily. I think this one could be a tight game early and then just spiral out of control because I think Dallas is very unstable right now. So I think the Seattle wins pretty easily.
Tom, do you agree that Dallas just really hasn't been able to get up for big games this year.
Well, I agree.
They don't have that urgency.
I agree with what Mike Ditka said on ESPN. He asked who the leader was on this team. Who's the guy? Who's the Rodney Harrison that grabs you by? It's supposed to be Roy Williams, and it's not. That's they forgot to add that part. But there's no leader. I mean, who's the guy when you're down? Like, the Patriots have all these guys in the locker room who can bring guys aside and say, listen, this is what we need, blah, blah, blah. But the leader was supposed to be the coach. I don't know if they're buying what he's selling anymore. Or there's just a, you know, Jacques Taylor, the writer from Dallas, he had a very good article saying what I said a couple weeks ago. I don't think it's Bill Parcells' choice anymore if he's coming back. I think it's Jerry Jones' decision now, because Parcells hasn't gotten done what he's supposed to have gotten done for being the second highest paid coach in the NFL. I look at this team. I watched that Detroit game over. No passion, no desire to play. Andy and I watched the game on Christmas. No passion, no desire to play.
It almost seems to me this year that Parcells is begging players to play instead of demanding.
There's a lot of things going on there, Fred, that I don't think we know about. I think there's a lot of problems internally with the coaching staff, the players, the owner, and because of that, I can't pick them on the road in Seattle. I think Seattle throws it. Alexander, I think, runs it. I don't think it's going to be a blowout by any means, but I think at home, Seattle wins.
Mm. This is the toughest one, I think, out of the four games, well, for me anyway.
Yeah, because both teams are trash.
and you don't know, I think both teams have a lot more talent than they've than they've shown, and it's hard to know which team is going to show up.
They have not played
consistently. Seattle appears to have kind of gotten a little bit something together late in the year, but I just think that their defense is not very good. I think that Dallas is going to be able to move the ball, and I think especially on the ground, I think the Seahawks can't really stop you. I'm going to go with Dallas here. I know it's probably not a popular pick, but I think Dallas is going to a mild upset. I wouldn't call it anything shocking or anything like that, but I think they find a way to get it rolling. The
what
offense
is the number in this?
Three. Offense moved the ball.
We're making picks with spreads.
Oh, three. I'm sorry, because that's right. Fred's not doing the spreads. The offense, I thought, you know, they've moved the ball reasonably well, with the exception of that Eagles game where they didn't do anything. The defense, I think, is really what's let them down. And I know I sound like an apologist, because it's the same stuff I said when Drew was quarterback, and I thought the offense really wasn't the problem. They couldn't stop anybody.
Nice interception by Roy Williams in the end zone when the ball hit his hands and went through it. Did you see that one? Another great play.
How can you give up 39 points to the Detroit Lions on the last day of the season?
Didn't
when
they turn it over a lot,
something?
Though? I thought I heard Parcells say, well, we turned it over three times.
They had turnovers, but they still scored 31 points.
Yeah, you can't. If you score 31
score
at home,
31.
You can't beat the Lions.
Right.
So I'm going to take Dallas. I'm going to say that they play a little bit of a cleaner game. I think that Parcells probably will take a little bit off of Romo, Tom. Probably rely on the running game a little bit more.
Yeah, but
and I think they'll be able to run it on Seattle.
Is he going to give it to Marion Barber, the guy who can run it, or is he going to give it to Julius Jones, who and falls down?
I don't think as little of Jones as you do. So I think that he'll be able to be
trash.
I think he'll be able to be successful, too. I like Barber, but I think that Jones is pretty good, too.
I have to go with Seattle in this game. I just think the Tony Romo era, for this year anyway, is over.
I was going
to
say, it's already over.
I think, but I do think it's hilarious, and I know that there's probably some part of me and, you know, that's kind of laughing about it with the whole Drew situation, but no one could have been hotter after, what, five games. And now the last five games, all of a sudden, well, you know, maybe Parcells was right. We shouldn't have had the anointing oils out. I mean, why don't you just try having a little bit of, you know, objectivity
to begin
and clarity
with.
To begin with.
Right. He's going to make mistakes. That's what young quarterbacks
Mike Holmgren
do.
Takes a little page out of the Super Bowl when he was the Packers coach and puts a lot of pressure off the edge on Romo. And I just think that at home, Seattle plays a lot better than they do on the road. A little bit more talent on offense. T.O. drops a couple balls. And Seattle wins this and covers. So, but it's a tough game. You just don't know.
I think it's the hardest game to call.
Yeah,
because you don't know which team on both sides is going to show.
You know, if the Cowboys had come out this year and won really big games and then kind of lost other games, I'd probably pick Dallas because this is obviously a big game. But like,
well,
when
first
the big,
of all, the game would be in Dallas.
Well, yeah,
the team
right.
folded like a tent.
Right.
They had everything
when
in front of them.
The big games came
the
up
division,
this year.
Everything.
They didn't
right
get
in
up,
front
and
of them.
I don't see why they're going to get up this game.
They went into Christmas day knowing we control everything. And since then, no one's seen the team. They haven't showed up. They haven't bothered playing.
They haven't won a big game since the Indianapolis game, really. I mean, they lost to the Saints on the Sunday night game. They lost to the Eagles when, as you said, Tom, they had everything out in front of them. And then all they had to do was win the last game.
Yeah.
At least to have a shot at winning the division, depending on what Philadelphia would do later, and they couldn't even win that one.
You know, after the last loss, Parcells got out there, and, you know, he does this a lot, you know, the feel sorry for me post-game speech. You know, this is the most disappointed I've ever been, I can ever remember being, and all this. Well, why? Why are you so disappointed?
But,
Why is that a feel sorry for me speech?
Oh, he does this. I remember so many times people saying, oh, Parcells is going to be pissed. He's going to come out here, and he's going to be pissed. And he come out, oh, woe is me. You know, I'm so disappointed, and we all have to feel sorry for, you know, this took a little bit out of me tonight, fellas.
Did you take that? Do you feel sorry for him? I mean, would you expect anybody to feel sorry for him?
Oh, give me a break.
That's
a dumbass question.
I don't get that.
I just want Cowboy
big shock.
I just want Cowboy fans to know that it was Parcells' decision to pass on Steven Jackson, even though 100 things had to happen for Steven Jackson to fall to them. And instead, they got Spears, who can't play at all at defensive end the next year, thanks to their first-round pick that they got. And J.P. Lausman is actually playing pretty well. I just think that was a terrible decision. They had Steven Jackson right now, I think this team's a totally different team.
And that
with that
team,
bulldozer.
Do you think that Parcells buys the groceries, or is it the GM, Jerry Jones?
I think it's a little bit of both, and that's part of the problem. Don't get me wrong.
Because Parcells is a pretty good drafter.
The biggest problem on this team is Jerry Jones, but we can't get rid of him, so you're going to have to get rid of everybody else and try starting over.
I kind of agree with Tom on that. I think Jones is a bigger problem, but you can't fix that one.
I know. But so what do you do if you're a Dallas Cowboy fan?
You suck it up.
You pout like Tom does. Everybody.
No, you suck it up, and there's nothing you can do. They won 3 Super Bowls. That's all you're getting. Because if you think the Cowboys are winning a Super Bowl anytime soon, you're kidding yourself.
That's pretty good observation.
And you take your jersey off early in the fourth quarter.
So getting back to this Parcells
thing. Some fans are bad fans, Andy.
why exactly is it a big shock that I think he did a terrible job coaching, and I don't think you should feel sorry for him?
That's not what you're talking about.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
I don't even know what the two of you are talking about.
I don't either.
I don't think they do.
I'm glad someone else is on that same boat, because I don't get it.
Let's go. Sunday, 4:30. We'll skip over the Patriots and the Giants at the Eagles. 4:30 Sunday.
7. Philadelphia by 7.
Philadelphia by 7.
That's not enough. Franchise quarterback Jeff Garcia taking over the reins and rolling. People picking them to win the Super Bowl now. They're the pick du jour. I saw old friend.
Well, why wouldn't they, though? They're playing as good as anybody.
People get all emphatic about the NFC.
Because
I think
he's homophobic.
No, because I think he stinks.
Well,
plus,
their
for all
defense
I know,
is playing well.
Jeff Garcia has about 7 Playboy bunnies every time I see him. So
that's not what you think.
That's what I know.
You don't know much.
I don't think much of Jeff Garcia. That's true. But I don't think much of the New York football Giants right now. And I think they're a lot like the Cowboys. And a team like that that is on different pages and no confidence, and I don't think it's a very smart idea to pick them heading into a postseason matchup with a pretty good football team. So I'll take the Eagles. They won't come crashing down till the following week when the Jeff Garcia era ends in Philadelphia. But they get it done this week, and they'll cover.
This is a massacre. The Eagles physically are playing as good as anyone in the NFC. They went into Dallas, and they whooped them in the trenches. And that's what I'm really impressed with the Eagles. And it started in that first Giants game the last time they played. They shut down Tiki Barber because they were giving up tons of yards on the ground. And I think that defense is the reason why they're going to win this game. I think they shut down Barber. They confuse Manning. You know, Garcia, I think he does enough. And you know what else I was impressed with? I liked last week how their backups came in and beat the Falcons first teamers. That just shows this team is rolling. Everybody's buying into it. They're really, you know, they're really on a high. I like the Eagles big in this game.
That was really kind of funny the way that unfolded. They got
how
the
they
score
found out, and then
they played. The starters started the game, and then they played. They looked up. They got the final score of the Dallas game, and all of a sudden it was bang. You guys out. You guys in. AJ Feely went out and threw for 300 yards,
and it was Hank Basket, baby, 177. You know,
receiving.
No one says scrub time like Hank Basket.
Well, Andy was over there, you know, kissing butt with Vince Young. I was sitting there with Hank Basket, you know, getting the nuts and bolts, Fred.
When Hank Basket said, "I'm good," and Tom goes, "Okay."
Hey, should be really? Go with you guys to the combine this year?
No.
Who?
I don't really want to see him there.
I thought B-Lo was going. I don't really care for him.
Can we somehow put duct tape over his mouth if he comes? I
could do without
him. 5 days.
That just means that your expense report is going to be even larger.
Well, I don't know.
And my credit card points will be higher.
Kraft Sports Group might go and film some stuff. So, you know, get some video.
Fine with me.
We might have a larger crew going this year than we have.
I don't really know any of those people.
More people than just the two of you coming from this organization.
Oh. So more New England Patriots employees will die on that prop plane crashing to the earth.
Well, no, if the Kraft Sports Group is going, we'll be
flying. You guys should look at that as a positive.
I don't look at it as a positive if it involves me with a roommate.
Maybe even get the Kraft private jet.
I get a roommate. I'm turning right back. I'm going home. Put that in the books.
Boy, you guys are just, you know.
Let's talk about spoiled.
Spoiled, yeah.
Well, you guys spoiled me. I get a roommate.
I don't think you people really understand how hard we work at the combine.
I totally
understand. Why?
It's as bad or worse. Well, you act like we're down there with our feet up.
I'm very proud of the work that you guys do.
It's like the Super Bowl.
Well, we're eating.
It's nonstop, right?
Don't you think there's.
Yeah, it's nonstop.
And I'm being all serious. I know we're pampered and all that, but when you're out working all day long, and that's what it is, all day long, and then you write.
Absolutely.
There's something to be said for going back to your room and just plopping by yourself on your bed.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing. That's what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
So if B-Lo is in a bed next to me and I have to hear his voice, it'll drive me nuts.
I want him to be in a bed with you.
That's Tom that wants that.
I was going to say, you better check with Tom on that. He'll bend him over.
Listen, I'm sorry. I'm not homophobic like you guys are. I don't mind if people are homosexual in this country.
Some of my best friends are gay. I go to WNBA games.
You guys ought to try moving down to Mississippi. Then you can be homophobic, racist, you know, and everything will work out great for you.
Tom.
I don't know what he's ranting about now.
I don't either.
He gets off on his little tangents.
Well, because you don't like Jeff Garcia because he's gay.
I don't like Jeff Garcia because I think he stinks.
You obviously haven't seen a game that he's played.
Plus, I hate the whole fact that Paul was ready to anoint him the franchise quarterback and kick Donovan McNabb to the curb.
It's funny how Mrs. McNabb is a little worried about that now.
You know why? For Tom's reason, I think.
How is that for foreshadowing?
Because the media wants, whatever Rush Limbaugh said, the other way.
If they win the Super Bowl, the fans are going to want it, too. I got news for you.
I think they're that stupid.
Well, if they win the Super Bowl now,
Garcia's 36.
Really think,
the difference is Garcia's 36. He's an older guy.
Yeah, that's
so.
The only thing that would discourage it. But if he was, like, 26 and this was happening,
it would be over.
Forget about it. It'd be over.
Didn't Don McNabb lead him to, three, four straight NFC title games and a Super Bowl? I mean, it's not like the guy was a chump.
Right now, we're talking about Donovan McNabb like they talked about Drew Bledsoe
here. It's not like he was a chump. It's not like he was surrounded by tremendous talent all the time on offense.
Throwing up, according to T.O., out partying with the nightlife. Probably him and Roy Williams were out partying together while T.O. was working.
So now T.O.'s the good guy? Working to do what? Make T.O. That's all he cared about. There was no Eagles involved in that equation. It was the T.O. story.
Well, I'm going to take the Eagles anyway,
Fred. Just don't make a movie about it.
Yeah, because Fred won't watch it.
I don't like what the Giants are doing and how they've made it into the playoffs. I think they've been a terrible team. It's a train wreck waiting for Tom Coughlin to get fired, and I'm going to look forward to that because I think he deserves to be fired the way he's acted on the sideline. So I'll take the Eagles here. I agree with Tom's reasoning. The defense has really done it. Barber really did nothing in the two games against Philadelphia. They should have won both games. They blew the big lead early, but I'm going to take Philly. I think Brian Westbrook gets it done, and I like Andy Reid. I think he's a good, solid, playoff-tested coach.
I like Andy Reid ever since I was at the combine, and he was coming back, and he looked a little tipsy in the elevator. this guy's out having fun.
Talking about out-coaching, you definitely got the coaching advantage on your side here if you take the Eagles.
Well, go
ahead.
A little side. I know there's some crossover between Red Sox fans and Patriots fans. A couple little Red Sox related moves. Keith Foulk signed with the Indians, so we can all breathe easy that there's no chance he ever pitches the Red Sox this year.
That's good.
And Randy Johnson reached an extension with the Diamondbacks, opening up the possibility of a trade from New York to.
Although
San
Diego made final offer, but I saw that. That's,
well, the scroll said he had a deal through 2008 with the Arizona Diamondbacks.
That is correct. You did know that LT won the MVP, right?
I did. Drew
Randy
Brees second
Johnson. I thought he was with the Yankees.
He is, but they want to trade him. Arizona wants him, but he said, I'll only waive my no trade if I get a contract extension. So he had to work out a contract first.
With the Yankees?
No, with Arizona.
With whoever he gets
traded. They clearly gave him permission to talk to them about a contract. And
okay, so now he's a Diamondback.
Well, not yet. They have to do the trade first.
Once it happens.
Right.
Well, okay. Yeah, they have to finalize the trade agreement.
So what does this open the door up for? What does
trade
this have to do with the Red
Arizona.
Sox?
Well, he's a Yankee. Everything that has to do with the Yankees has to do with
the
Red Sox.
Both ways,
I do.
Okay, Fred, who do you like?
Boy, you just don't follow.
No, it has nothing to do with the Red Sox.
Everything that has to do with the Yankees has to do
with
the Red Sox.
Certainly has nothing to do with the Patriots.
All right, okay.
But a lot of Patriots fans are Red Sox fans.
ESPN News.
I am taking the Eagles to win this game, but I think that Garcia comes down to earth a little bit, throws a couple picks, and keeps the Giants in the game and the Giants cover. So
okay.
That's how this game's going to
go. I'm all for that.
All right, let's go back Sunday at 1, and we all thank the football gods for this time slot. The Jets travel
We're
to
thanking
Gillette's...
Nick Saban for our schedule
the football
game
god?
At Sunday at 1.
Oh, he thinks he is.
In Alabama, he is.
Yeah. Well, today. Right until they realize he's a jerk and he's not going to win every year.
I talked to John Hanna yesterday.
Hog.
And I asked him about it. He likes it. He thinks, you know, he's a
Speaking
tough guy.
Speaking of football gods.
The thing that he questioned is, how's he going to get along with the coaches? Because he's tough. He's tough on his coaches. And you read the thing probably today that in South Beach right now, everyone's pretty excited that he actually left.
That's what I'm saying for Patriot fans. I think this is a bad thing.
Yeah.
Because I don't think he was going to succeed as the coach. And Paul and I were talking earlier. They obviously got some things they got to work out there. But if they can get a good coach in there, Andy was saying Bill Cowher maybe now.
Already little rumblings of Bill Cowher.
That's my last call yesterday off
also,
of Pro Football Talk.
Also tuna rumblings as well.
Tuna?
That's
fun.
What they're talking about.
Have
you
fun.
Know, but that's just somebody probably throwing it out there.
Yeah, well, so was Nick Saban in early November when they said Nick Saban's going to go to Alabama, and he shot it down 17 times.
Listen,
right up until the point he took a
$32
million
deal. At this point, this is what you need. You need to have a talented team. You can't have the tuna go to Miami, fix everything that's wrong, and the guy's going to be dead in 5 years.
He needs a good staff.
Yeah.
Who's his staff?
He's got Paul Pasqualoni over there in Dallas.
Maybe it'll be Charlie Weiss and Romeo Crennel.
Yeah, maybe he'd probably get them.
I give him credit for coming up with different ways to try to get me in this track.
I'm waiting for Paul to go, oh, yeah.
You do. You come up with a different way every time we bring up the tuna.
All right. So Patriots, Jets, the consensus I know among us is that Patriots win.
I don't need no spread.
Is the number still 9? Paul?
8.5.
8.5. It's gone down a little bit.
Makes no difference to me.
Andy, what do you think?
We've talked about this some this week and on the TV show. I think the Patriots will control the line of scrimmage, run the ball successfully, and then control the entire game from start to finish. But against the Jets and in the postseason, I don't think that means a blowout. So I'll take the Patriots to win, but I'll take those points. I think 8.5, 9 points is enough for the Jets to cover in this one, in this series, and in the postseason. They've bought into Eric Mangini big time down there. They'll go down with a fight.
Okay. Tom?
Paul, make my spread 18.5.
I already have your pick in there, and as you see, I closed up the book, so I have an idea where Fred's going.
I'm sorry. I just think the Patriots come out fired up. The Jets may be in it for a little bit of the first quarter, get a field goal. I think they'll actually score first, maybe 3-0, but the Patriots turn it on. I think they get turnovers. I think they get to Pennington, and I think they run the ball with ease. I'm looking over 200 yards on the ground for Dillon and Maroney. And the reason I think it's going to be such a high score, big win for the Patriots is because I think they'll have the lead, and then I think Maroney's going to break one. They get a turnover, maybe another one, 38-3. I like them big.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like them as big as Tom does, but I do think that they control this game. They control the line of scrimmage, and I just don't see the Jets being able to stop the running game. Even in a lot of other facets, we talked a lot about Ty Warren didn't play that first game, and that moved Seymour over, and Will Fork was really ineffective, and you got to figure that had at least something to do with it. But even in the secondary, that was right away. That was the first game after Harrison got hurt. And now, even though this is the first game after Harrison got hurt again, now that they've played enough without him, I think that they're in much better shape to handle it. James Sanders played much better the last couple of games than he did those first few. without Harris. And I just think the Patriots are in much better shape to deal with the adversity. And I really think that they find a way to win this game relatively easily. I do agree with Andy. I think, you know, division game in the playoffs kind of lends it to a close game. But I still, I'm going to give the 8.5 points just because I think the Patriots are that much better of a team.
If the Patriots do win big, like Tom and I think it's going to be 35-10 Patriots. So not quite as big. But
I go like 23-13, something
big.
Like that.
Do you think Patriots fans gloat?
Of course they do.
You think they
gloat after every win?
Yes.
When have they ever not gloated?
If it's Andy's score, they'll gloat.
Right, and they should. A playoff win is a playoff win.
Absolutely.
Move on and enjoy it.
And when have Patriots fans ever not gloated?
Not gloating at, oh, we won the game, you know, hurrah for us. But I mean, oh, man, Genie, he's not that
I think the Patriots coaches will be doing that.
They're doing that now.
But, Fred, if they beat him by 2016 by Andy's score, I say Mangini wins. The Jets didn't win, but Mangini wins.
Kind of what I'm getting to is, yeah, if it's a close game, they have nothing to gloat about.
No, because the Jets went on the road with a lesser team, and if they fight them tough, that's all Mangini right there.
Well, see, but I'll tell you, if it's a close game, Patriots fans will just say, yeah, but if you take away the 17 plays the Jets made to make it a close game, it wouldn't have been a close game. That's what they do. That's what Patriots fans do. That's how they look at every game when it's over. You know, I heard, you know, if you take away the 3 plays that Jacksonville made in that game, I'll grant you the Jones-Drew touchdown run because that was such a bizarre play, okay?
No.
But I don't just take away the bomb to Wilford down inside the 5 and the bomb to Matt Jones for a touchdown. If I'm a Jacksonville fan, can I take away three key third down conversions on touchdown drives that would have led to punts?
The fact that it takes a team 1 play to go 50 yards instead of 5 plays, what's the difference?
But, I mean, you don't understand what my point is. Yeah. If you're Jacksonville, you're looking at that game, geez, we had them stop 3 times and we let them get first downs. Then they went on and got touchdowns on that drive. I mean, if I stopped them on those 3 third down plays and they had a punt, I win the game.
I think Patriots win this game. I think they should win this game, and I think they're going to win it and beat the spread. I think they are that much of a better team, and I think they have been playing more consistently. They'll continue to do that. Beyond this game, you know, they're coming up to much tougher defenses, so we'll see about that when we get there. But I think you got to put this game in the books.
Book it.
Book it.
Which game are you guys most looking forward to watching?
To watch?
Well, whatever. Obviously, take the Patriots out. Which of the other 3 games most intrigued you?
I think I like the Colts in Kansas City because I have a vested interest in Kansas City winning.
I can go with that. I mean, we know Tom's. When he puts on that number 48 Moose jersey.
You have a Moose jersey.
There's no doubt about it, I do. I also have an LT jersey.
What a loser.
That's what I said. I think it's the Colts-Chiefs game. The Dallas game, I'm not really drawn to. I mean, I'll tell you, the Patriots game is the one I'm most interested in because of not only the off-the-field crap, but I do think they're going to run the ball. I'm a big fan of running the ball. And I think you could see, you know, 10, 12-yard runs, and then later in the game, 20, 25-yard runs. And I like that kind of football.
Well, I think the Dallas game could be interesting if they're behind late because if Parcells doesn't think he's coming back, you never know if he's going to unleash on T.O. on the sidelines. You don't know what's going to happen. So that added drama.
I don't think he will. I think he's been crushed. I think he's a big...
He's done.
Punani now. I think that death and everything changed him. He's no longer the mastermind. I don't think he's the bully anymore. He's been broken.
Death and
everything? Yeah, Peter King talked about a lot how the fact that the Giants guy dying changed Bill Parcells' entire outlook on life. And I think it's true. He's just not the same bully anymore, and he was successful as a bully.
Well, he had two things. His agent died and his brother died.
Well, his agent died a long time ago.
No,
I thought his agent was Jimmy Sexton.
It was just a couple years before his brother. Right?
Well, when did his brother die?
Last year.
No, didn't the agent die with Payne Stewart?
Yeah.
That was a long time
ago.
Yes.
It just seemed like it was like a few years ago.
Well, it was at least five.
Yeah, it's a ways ago.
His brother died last
I don't even
year.
Know his brother. I never even heard a story about his brother,
the banker, he died, yeah.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I just don't know anything about Parcells' brother.
I don't know
brother.
Anything either.
Okay. But that's interesting about the mayor. You're talking about Wellington Mara dying?
Yes, that his death has changed his outlook on life, him coming to the end, you know, all the...
Well, the guy was 100 years old, I mean...
Yeah, I know.
Tragedy.
But, you know, part of it might be, you know, his reputation, that he's kind of burned a lot of bridges and people hating him. Maybe he's saying, you know what, maybe you go to a funeral and he says, well, I wonder if there's anybody going to be at my funeral when I die.
Or do you think Belichick does that, or does he just know?
Bill knows there ain't going to be nobody there.
He's not having a funeral.
It'll be Fred and Bear.
Right. Straight to the elevator, down to hell.
I'm not so sure about half of that capacity, by the way.
Which one?
All right. Joe from China Village, Maine says, hey, Fred, Paulie, and you too, Tom. Best I can tell, the Jets don't match up well with big physical defenses. I'd love to hear what you think the Patriots' defensive game plan will be. My opinion, the Patriots will try to hit the Jets' offense pretty hard at the line of scrimmage and try to disrupt the timing of Pennington's dink-and-dunk passing game. Does the Harrison injury limit the Patriots' ability to play physically on defense? I predict the trend toward overall team improvement will continue this week. Look for a couple of deep ball connections. Over-under is 37. Take the over on a breakout game.
Wow.
I think you could see a little bit of 4-3 because they played 4-3 against them in the first game, right? That's the game they opened up in the 4-3.
Yeah, the first game they had a lot of 4-3.
They had a lot of success in that first half. I don't think they'll do it all the time, but I think you could see some 4-3 in this game a little bit.
I do too, especially, you know, assuming that Will Fork is healthy. And I think he is, because I think he could have played last week.
This just in, I don't know if you guys knew this, being reported by Albert Breer, but Ty Warren has been named the AFC Defensive Player of the Month.
Reported by everybody. They came up in the locker room and said, hey, he's been Defensive Player of the Month.
That was reported by the Patriots public relations.
Plus, I think Kyle already put an update up on Patriots.com about it, or he was supposed to have.
I'm going to say that he didn't.
I wouldn't necessarily go blind on that.
I wouldn't say reported by Patriots.com because of the guy who's doing the reporting.
Hey, Kyle.
Just kidding, Kyle.
I'm not.
Brian in Colorado. Seems to me the Pats had a big QB that came out of LSU that could heave the ball down the field and was terrific in NFL Europe. How do these two compare? Let's talk about Jamarcus Russell.
Well, I think Rohan Davey.
Yeah, Russell
and Davey
is better than Davey.
Russell,
he's better.
He moves a lot better.
Yeah, right. He's got that 15-20 yard pass across the middle that he throws a lot better than Davey. I just feel that he's a raw kind of talent, and my worry with him, like I said, is like the Raiders will draft him and make him their starter. And I think that's not the right way to go. I think he's more of a Steve McNair, where if you sit him for a year, then he could be effective.
Let's see. Who is the best defensive player that could fall to the Pats in the first round?
Well, there's the linebacker from Oklahoma who's pretty good. I know people are talking about Lamar Woodley as the 3-4 outside backer, but he's played 3-4 at Michigan, and he hasn't done a very good job at it. I just don't like his build for that. He's not necessarily... He's kind of thick. He's not necessarily got that quickness.
Not long.
I'm afraid he might be one of those guys.
He is a little compact for that. I think that he would have potential in that, to be honest with you. But I agree with you. I agree with your assessment that he's a little thick and compact for that. Usually you see guys like Vrabel, you know, that are a little bit more linear.
Well, end of February, you guys will be out there. You'll have all the skinny, right? You'll see him with their clothes off.
I mean, no, we won't.
Tom will at least be dreaming
that'll
about
be in
it.
His room.
I'm not homophobic. I don't mind seeing a guy with his shirt off. It doesn't give me a boner.
You're just a homo.
Any defensive player drafted from LSU will be good. So if you find yourself drafting a guy from LSU, that means he's big, he's strong, and he's fast.
Brian says, I listened to the podcast of last Thursday's show on my run last night. Got a kick out of your game analysis while making your picks. It might be more fun to listen to that part of the Thursday show in retrospect all the time.
Well, that means we were way off the map,
way
I guess.
Off, maybe. I don't know.
Plus, it was also the show. That's the one that you ended with. See you next Wednesday.
Right.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm sure you guys were wrong. I wasn't here.
Probably.
Yes. Hey, I was 10-6. It couldn't have been that wrong.
Hey, I was 10-6.
I finished in last.
P.S., it was hard to feel good about the Denver loss to the 49ers with what happened to Darren Williams. Furthermore, what's up with the talking heads blaming rap music and violence in movies for all the problems in the United States? Have you seen any of these morning shows? Regis effing Philbin, The Price is Right, Wheel of Fortune, Good Morning America, and all that other crap
apparently
on
this
daytime
person doesn't
television.
Work.
Getting rid of that crap might raise a few IQs.
Wheel of Fortune is being blamed for something.
Price is Right?
For just spinning that wheel and
The Price is Wrong.
Every time I see that Price is Right, I just get in a rage.
Right, I just want to hit somebody. Shoot them.
Listen, I've seen plenty of gangster movies, plenty of like Rocky movies, and during the movie, I want to shoot somebody and I want to punch somebody. but I don't go out and do it. Like, when the movie's over, I kind of just go back to being normal, as normal as I can.
Normal?
I got to be Andy to the punch on all these things. I just think if you're crazy enough to actually take a gun and shoot somebody or take a knife and stab somebody, you got bigger problems than watching movies
right.
and listening to rap
you're
music.
You're crazy either way.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, NWA was around when we were growing up. You didn't see us going around.
It's one of those social things that they someone goes out and commits some heinous crime, and it happens to emulate something that's on TV, and they make the correlation that, well, he got his idea from a movie.
Right.
Well, no, he probably was going to kill somebody anyway, yeah. and then said, hey, that's the perfect way I'm going to do it.
Exactly.
You know, I just think sometimes we get overboard. I haven't really seen any...
I haven't
any
either,
of these shows or anything, but if that's if they're blaming this on
it's what they do every
rap,
time
rap music
every
you know.
Time that's what it's either wrestling or video games or movies
or, Jeopardy.
Or rap music or Jeopardy apparently
Seinfeld.
Wheel of Fortune okay
Fred's just excusing himself from the rest of the show evidently
apparently he's got a poop
why don't we take a quick break and wait for Fred to get back Jason
did you
Exclusively from the Oregon Patriots, signed by Benjamin Watson, free. His authentic mini helmet comes complete with a chin strap, a cedar face mask, and Ben Watson's autograph. All you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait to fly at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet. Autographed by Benjamin Watson. Patriots extra points because fans want contact too. Autographed in the limited edition football field. Qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
Bank of America would like to take a moment to let you hear what our home equity line of credit sounds like. You see, if you want to remodel the kitchen,
it smells great, hon.
Or renovate the bathroom.
Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my...
Or fix up anything around the house, Bank of America's home equity line of credit is the easy, low-cost way to make it all happen. There's no paperwork to bring, so applying is simple. And you'll have access to your money just about everywhere, by phone, online, and at our banking centers nationwide. All of which makes putting that pool in the backyard a little less of a dream and a little more of a reality. So whether you want to have the pros handle it or do it yourself, a Bank of America home equity line of credit is your ticket. Apply today. Just visit bankofamerica.com, call 1-800-900-9000, or stop by your neighborhood banking center.
Clementine.
Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Bank of America. Higher standards. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
How are you? Please, sit down. What's the reason for your visit?
Well, Doctor, I need to ask you about something that I've been feeling lately.
Go on.
Doctor, you see, every time I drink Pepsi, I start hearing this. It's here in my head, and it seems like it's coming from inside of me. And then I start feeling an urge to dance and jump, and a strong sensation of happiness fills my whole body.
What else?
You know, I take a sip, and suddenly... My hips start shaking, my feet start sliding, and it happens when I'm with my friends, at school, out in the street, at my granny's house, even when I'm at the movies. It happens everywhere. Tell me, what is it? What is going on?
Well, I know what your problem is.
Yes?
You're out of tune. The song goes like this.
Pepsi. It's the cola.
Size hunger and want the awesome authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home. Tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots
Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks, and more. With Patriots Gridiron Grillers, you don't have to wait for the game for that great stadium taste. Gridiron Grillers are available at Agar and CNS Wholesalers, Big Y, Tomorrow's Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Food Master, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farms, Shaw's, Stop and Shop, and at your local supermarket. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Back here. Anyway, we have a game here on Sunday, right?
Yeah. Indeed.
Do you notice that there's less activity going on down here than usual?
I was kind of thinking that. There's not a lot.
Like, where's all the network trucks and people and
maybe
all that?
They're coming tomorrow.
Maybe they don't think the Jets have a chance either.
I guess
so. They're not going to televise it.
just not going to have a game on TV this
week. A heck of a lot of media here getting one on ones.
There is a lot of media.
I have to
a lot of
questions
out of
the PR
media.
Department.
Anything go on today that I should know about?
Well, Chris Berman was in the house. He was asking for you.
He had a pink shirt on.
What kind of locker room they got down there?
Pretty empty one.
Yeah.
A lot of media, not a lot of players.
Wow, it was unbelievable. There had to be 6, 7, 8 media guys for every player today.
Oh, at least. I'd say more than that.
How was Bill today?
He was all right, and then at the end he got a little testy.
Deservedly
so.
I back him 100% on this.
I thought rightly so.
Dumb questioning.
Who?
I don't know.
A new face.
Although
New
I think
York
everyone should call him Coach.
Yeah.
Coach.
I like those. Coach.
I call him that.
Yeah, I know you do. That's one of the reasons why I make fun of that.
What does he call you?
He doesn't.
Oh, I think he calls you something.
He calls you something.
You probably can't say it on this show, though.
Probably.
You're one of the FMs.
Yep.
You're the head FM.
Yep.
That's all right.
PFW and friends, huh?
That's not what he calls us.
Pratt in Germantown, Maryland. Let's see. It'll be interesting to see where the Patriots end up despite all the different power rankings, putting them in third or fourth place. Now the Pats up there with the Chargers and Ravens with a legit shot to get to the big game. If we get there, the Patriots win, there is no doubt. The main question is, will the Patriots get to the Super Bowl? If they get past the Jets, how can they possibly game plan in order to face teams like the Chargers and Ravens that seem unstoppable? I know all teams have holes, but our weakness is our offense, and both those teams have great defenses. I know that defense wins championships, but you know why? Our offense is going to have to step it up. They will have to build on top of the level they played the last two games. Belichick said it when he said that he is solely concerned with scoring points. The Ravens can expect their defense to cause turnovers and score at least one defensive touchdown in a game, but the Pats can't really do that. Their offense will have to take care of business on most of their possessions. If the Pats get ahead against any team, I think they can fight them off to win in the end, but if they fall behind, like they did against Denver or Indy, it'll be very close to impossible. Just my thoughts. But you know why? I wanted to know what you guys think, too.
You know why? You're a big douche.
Whoa! Wow!
Tom's a little cranky today.
Well, he's on round three, you know? Who cares about the Ravens or the Chargers right now? We don't know who we're playing, and we don't know if we're playing.
It's all about the Jets.
Did you guys mention Drew Bledsoe going to Oakland?
Yeah, no, Tom did.
I did.
Okay, because Ron says, I heard you mention that. First thing that came to my mind was Jim Plunkett going to the Raiders from New England and winning a Super Bowl.
Two.
I don't know
that
if
was two. A different Raiders
two, by
team.
The way. Two.
I don't know if any of you are no old enough to that. Remember that, but I loved it. I was a big Plunkett fan and thought the Patriots dumped him too soon. Well, Plunkett wanted to get the hell out of here, for one thing.
Plus, that was the right move to get rid of him.
Yeah.
Grogan took his place, and Grogan was better.
As for the Jets game, the Pats should win, but if I was a betting guy, I'd take the Jets with 9 points. I'll be surprised if the Pats win by more than a touchdown. But in my heart, I'd like to see a total blowout to the point that the Jets are never in the game. On another subject, I don't watch a lot of college football, but I guess the first team to score in overtime doesn't necessarily win, as opposed to the pros where the first score wins. I guess you don't win it, watch a lot. But anyway, what do you
Fred
think
knows
of this?
That.
Personally, I like the NFL's way of doing it.
I think for college, I think their way is fine.
I love it. I absolutely love it. I wouldn't love it in the pros.
There's much more talent in the pros. I mean, you give the pros team the ball at the 25.
Right.
It's there you're guaranteed three. I mean, in college, you're not guaranteed three from the 25.
Field goals aren't automatic. You know, the execution in that, you know, late games is much different. It wouldn't work in the pros, but I think in college it's great.
Tremendous in college. Tremendous.
Talia wants to know, do you think Bledsoe is going to retire this year, or will he be able to convince another team he could be a starting quarterback?
Retire.
I hope he retires.
The only person he can convince is Al Davis.
Maybe he'll be the starting quarterback of the Miami Dolphins for Drew Bledsoe. I mean, for Bill Parcells.
Maybe.
Okay.
I don't think there's any chance whatsoever of that happening.
No, that relationship fractured?
Somewhat.
Did we talk about Al Fecto's email about Nick Saban?
We didn't read any emails that you haven't read.
I was going to say, anything that's not deleted, we didn't read.
Okay, Nick Saban has joined the laundry list of coaches who utter the misleading, no one has contacted me response to a question about this or that job in the face of rumors. Well, of course, the coach has an agent, and the agent does all the contacting. Do members ever follow up, like, I think he means media members ever follow up by asking something like, well, has anyone contacted your agent, your family, your dog, or anyone else, or anything else about this job? Have you ever seen that happen?
He still won't answer the question.
I have seen that happen.
Yeah. And what happens when they do that?
Generally what Tom says. They just continue. Off. Yeah.
Yeah.
Any questions about the Jets?
As for the incredible Tom Casale, I'm afraid I am no longer going to listen exclusively to him for my football analysis.
Gee, I wonder why.
Eugene Wilson sucks now? The guy has been hurt a lot. Can't wait for Tom's first book, Why Jim Brown Was Overrated, with a foreword explaining how Walter Payton was lucky for the first 15 years of pro football.
Okay, well, didn't I say since I've been here? Fred, were those my words?
I think you did, yeah.
Since I've been here, I said. Since I've been here. Now, since I've been here, guys, how well has Eugene Wilson played?
He's been hurt a lot since you've been here.
Well, he played quite a bit last year. I mean, come on now. Boy, you New England fans are something. You know? Holy Christ.
No one else knows anything.
Corey Dillon is still phenomenal, but I just don't understand it. He played a lot last year, and he played poorly. We wrote it on the web. We did talk about that early in the season,
that Eugene Wilson was not playing well. I will say that. Yeah. Let's see. Ron writes in, I kind of the opinion that the Patriots should lose this weekend, if only to shake up the front office a little bit. If the Patriots lose by a missed field goal, maybe the front office will get a clue.
Wow.
Well, yeah, that'll show them.
Yeah. The front office is Bill, so do you want to get rid of Bill?
Maybe they'll fire the coach.
That'll teach him.
I'll send him packing.
This is another person. Tom, I hope you didn't take my hunk remarks the wrong way. It's just It's just that your voice and picture don't actually match up. I was surprised to see that you were so bulky, like a roll of very tasty chicken parmesan sub roll.
Right. I'm very uncomfortable.
I've had way too much. Yeah,
but no, I just love the show and love listening to you guys. You're so creative. Go, Guskowski, go.
Okay. Who's this?
Straw milkman or something.
Your
like
boyfriend?
That.
My favorite was him mixing a salad.
Well, what's your name? John's here.
I'm a little nervous sitting next to Tom now.
So yeah, I mean,
you'll have
to
forgive me.
You know, do what he says he's going to do to Andy. To you. Is the media too overconfident about this game? I was listening to EEI.
I think a little bit. Yeah,
yeah, they were asking Jet fans to call in and give them a reason why the Jets have a chance in this game.
Yes, yeah, just so they can try to shoot them down, right?
Yeah.
I think that the media overall here has been pretty overconfident. You know, you mentioned yesterday, both of you guys, in fact, you and Tom both said that you think this is going to be a rout.
Yeah, I mean, I do.
You still think it will be?
John's the cautious negative type. He's always got to find a way.
I don't think he's the smart type. But just because I'm cautious, does
that
mean I'm negative?
They don't draft guys from Texas, so he's pissed off at them.
Dave Thomas. David Thomas.
Yeah, one guy. Is that the only guy?
I believe so.
See, 53 men, only one from Texas. John doesn't think he can build a winning team that way.
No, he's upset because
Vince Young. Well, you know,
I'll throw myself in the mix. Am I too overconfident?
I don't think there's anything wrong with being confident in your abilities. I think that the matchups are intriguing, and the fact that, you know, the Jets are the one team that really seemed to confuse Tom Brady, you know, back in November when, you know, the two teams played last time. I don't think any of us really thought that would ever happen.
No, I didn't.
And, you know, Tom is as good as there is in the NFL at deciphering what kind of coverages you have and what kind of protection you should get. And the Jets did a great job of disguising. In fact, I know Tom said yesterday, he said, you guys wouldn't even believe it if I told you. So,
well, he said something. You wouldn't understand it.
Wouldn't understand it.
I'd love to have him try.
I'd like to have that, too. You know, I would. I agree with you. I'd like to know exactly what it is. So that way we could kind of see it a little bit how he looked at it. This having been said, you know the Jets are going to come up with something completely different because the Patriots are going to be ready for what the Jets dealt them in November. So to me, the whole intrigue here is whether or not the Jets can re-game plan.
Yeah, with both teams.
To be able to take advantage of what they started in November, and that is get into the head of Tom Brady and Bill Belichick.
So if say the Jets win and win one more game and lose in the championship game, are they the new Patriots? The underdog, the great young head coach.
At some point,
someone's going to supplant Belichick as the new genius. You know, you don't remain the genius forever. Ask Bill Parcells.
I really believe, though, that this has to. The only way that the Jets come along with that is if they win. They win it all.
Right. I think
then I'd have to say you'd have to give that at least some consideration that Mangini would be the next quote unquote anointed one.
Well, he's definitely going to be the golden
the AFC
boy
championship
until,
game
next year, and we'll see what
happens. I don't disagree with that. I think if the Jets get that far, yeah, absolutely. But for him to be on that pedestal where Belichick started,
the ring.
You got to have
the
ring.
Let me ask you this now. Say they beat him in the playoffs, okay? First game next year is Jets, Sunday night game, Jets, Patriots, and then he beats him again. Now, what's that noose like now with the fans and the media?
Oh, we'll be all over the Jets.
It's all over for Belichick.
But it'll be more of a local story.
Yeah.
If he beats the Patriots,
ESPN's going to be talking about it,
but not on the genius level. If he beats the Patriots on the way to a Super Bowl, then he's the genius. You got to have the Super Bowl title.
I know. I'm just saying. Like, what's it going to be like for Belichick if he loses three in a row to Mangini? That's going to
be dangling somewhere.
Yeah. By his shoelaces.
Yep.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting. I just think that, the Jets still have a little work to do before we can put them up there like the Patriots were in 2001.
Right.
This is unbelievable. We are being criticized by this emailer, Tom and I, for predicting a blowout because we're going to hurt people. We're going to cause them to lose a lot of money. Ooh, he says, don't please state as a fact that the Patriots will win this game. I know a lot of people rely on your predictions. I know you really believe that this game will come down to the wire. But your Patriot blowout stick will hurt a lot of people. If you were more responsible, you would recommend Jets plus 8.5.
Well, then take the Jets.
First of all,
I don't give one damn
you
if you lose money.
That?
I don't care if you lose money. I don't care if you lose your house.
Is.
I don't care if you lose your wife. I don't care if you lose your kids.
I believe the phrase is tinker's damn.
I don't care. I don't care at all.
Never heard that phrase.
Don't say we need to be responsible. Fred and I think it's going to be a blowout.
And I think the Patriots are going to cover. Andy's the only one who thinks the Jets are going to cover. That's because that's what Andy does. He's negative.
Yeah, he thinks it's time they lay an egg.
I'm actually siding with Andy. I think the Jets will cover.
John's
okay,
smart.
So there you go.
But we're not.
Is that responsible enough for you?
Yeah.
How's that?
And listen,
does that balance it out?
If you're relying on our picks to make money, you are a loser loser.
Right.
And that's all I can.
Well,
say.
Unless he goes with my picks, and then he wins
right,
a lot.
Then he wins.
Ooh, there you go.
Then they won. He won five more all year. Then he lost to whatever.
Is that what you were? You were plus five against
plus
the spread.
Against the spread.
Plus
that's not
six.
Bad
for the whole year.
Plus six
for the whole year. That's not horrible.
It wasn't the entire year, but close.
Yeah.
It's not horrible. It means you ended up on the plus side.
Yeah, He's the only one. He beat us
in
all.
In order to win, like, whatever, if you bet $100 on every game, you win $500 after betting tens of thousands of dollars.
Yeah. That's not a way to make a living.
No.
Keep your day job.
Well, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. It's Thursday, so we'll be back tomorrow. Stay tuned for John Rook.
Breaks a tackle, drives it upfield to the 10, to the 5.